Pittsburgh.
Yeah, everybody in that situation would love to be able to run the ball. The Steelers used to do that. And, hey, the defense knows you're going to run. You know you're going to run. You run it anyway. You grind the game into dust. Game over.
Impose your will.
Can't do that right now.
Yeah, so, you want a coach that adapts. Because from, you know, we had the Chiefs. Well, we still have the Chiefs. I don't know if you heard about them.
Yeah.
But, like, in the 90s, we had Marty Schottenheimer, God rest his soul. He was a great coach, but also you knew first, second down we were going to run, and third down we were going to pass. And if that didn't work, well, first and second down we were going to run again, and third down we were going to pass. If it didn't work that time, well, it's got to work the third time, right? And that's why we lost like 4 games, 9-7.
Brandon Bellman and the DVE Morning Show.
3 minutes after 6 at DVE, here's a Channel 11 severe weather.
On severe weather, Center 11.
62 degrees now at DVE. I'm Val Porter. Congress is back in session today as lawmakers face decisions over President Biden's domestic plan, funding the federal government and the debt ceiling. Spending issues are coming to the forefront as a two-year deal reached in 2019 expires. Congress will also likely address Biden's $3.5 trillion budget bill and his $1.2 trillion transportation plan. Pennsylvania Democrats are taking legal action against the GOP's recent move in their forensic investigation of the 2020 election. Last week, a GOP-led Senate committee voted to issue subpoenas to gather personal information, including Social Security numbers, from voters and records of communication between state and county election officials. Senate Democrats filed their lawsuit on Friday to block the move, saying this only feeds into Donald Trump's conspiracy theories about the 2020 election, as well as undermines democracy and confidence in our elections. Officials are continuing to record and report stats during the pandemic. Yesterday, public health officials reporting 431 new COVID cases in Allegheny County. In Westmoreland County, 161 new cases were reported. The Pittsburgh Public School Board is set to begin interviewing candidates for interim superintendent before hiring a permanent successor. Officials are expected to begin the process this week with 5 in-house candidates who are certified to take over the position. Officials say after the interim successor is chosen, they'll conduct a nationwide search for a permanent superintendent. The full moon will look larger than usual Monday night as the harvest moon ushers in the arrival of autumn. Summer will officially come to an end in the northern hemisphere when the autumnal equinox arrives on Wednesday. For many, autumn begins with the harvest moon, which will be at its brightest about 8 p.m. tonight. The harvest moon could also appear to have a yellow or orange tint when it's close to the horizon. An aspiring California porn star is dead, and L.A. police have 2 suspects in custody after a so-called back alley butt lift turned deadly. They say a 26-year-old South African woman got an illegal and dangerous procedure to plump up her butt cheeks. Police say a mom and daughter team conducted 3 procedures with no safeguards and injected Carissa Rajpal with toxic material. She died after the 3rd operation. Investigators are charging Libby Adami and her daughter Alicia Gomez with murder. They say the victim filmed the 2nd procedure and posted it to social media. Sharon Osbourne says her marriage.
I just want to point out how ridiculous that story is. It's insane.
Well, they all are.
It's like a regular thing in this country. People die getting stuff put in their butt.
Yeah.
By strangers.
Why can't you?
In an alley.
They sell padded underwear, don't they?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Let yourself go a little bit.
If not, invent it.
Like, gain some weight. I don't know. Anything other than...
fix a flat.
I met somebody who said they can put stuff in my gluteus maximus to make it plump. Just a weird way to die. That's all. Tough one. When you get to the St. Peter's, got to be like, there's a line over here for you. We'll get to you. Like they're the last in the security line at the airport.
Sharon Osbourne says her marriage to Ozzy went through its knock 'em down stage. She tells London's Daily Mail, quote, "Our fights were legendary. We would beat the bleep out of each other. It stopped, must be 20 years ago, but we had a good run." So how old's Ozzy? In his 70s?
Yeah.
So they were in their 50s and they were still beating each other up.
She talks about that like it was like cutesy.
No big deal, yeah. She says this will be part of the biopic being made about their life together. She said, quote, It's a movie about Ozzy's and my life, how we came together in the early days in our volatile relationship, all the fights, all the makeups, all the fights, all the arrests, all the everything. And it's a love story. People are going to watch it and go, this isn't allowed. They shouldn't behave that way and put it on film. But we're only talking the truth. Some people have volatile relationships and ours was very volatile, end quote. So why don't they get into physical altercations anymore? Sharon says, well, you grow. You grow to a stage where it sickens you. You grow to a stage where it physically makes you sick. But when you're young and you know you're fighting the world, it's different. Filming should begin as early as next spring. Ozzy also getting...
She wasn't that young. Like you said, she was in her 50s.
Yeah. They just stopped. It's not like they stopped when they were 25, which would have been bad enough. It's not right. Like that's okay, but...
She's just very, she's going to catch a lot of hell for the way she's casually discussing that stuff, I think.
And Ozzy will soon go back under the knife. Sharon telling the Daily Mail he needs surgery to help correct neck and spine issues following a fall at his home in L.A. in 2019. The injuries have kept him from performing, and she says the thing she's excited about is he gets back on stage, and she says, that's what I pray for. It breaks your heart. He wants to get back on the road. He misses his friends, his musicians. They're his partners. He misses that life. With his Parkinson's, he's fine. He's got it under control. Another Ozzy news, the latest album, 2020's Ordinary Man, has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America for sales in excess of 500,000 copies. Finally, Stephen Van Zandt has turned to his boss, longtime friend Bruce Springsteen, to help sell copies of his autobiography, Unrequited Infatuations. On September 28th, Springsteen will interview Van Zandt about the book, in which fans will have the opportunities to submit questions. And during the event, copies of the book will be signed by Van Zandt and available for sale. For tickets and information, go to vanzant.unisonevents.com. He's the second member of the E Street Band to write a memoir, although the one by late Clarence Clemens, Big Man, Real Life and Tall Tales, was semi-fictional and told in the third person. In 1984, drummer Max Weinberg published The Big Beat, Conversations with Rock's Greatest Drummers, a series of interviews with his heroes, including Ringo Starr and Levon Helm. And Bruce published his memoir, Born to Run, in 2016. Warm and humid, low 80s for the high today. It's 62 at DVE.
All right. The Steelers came back home and laid an egg yesterday in front of a raucous home crowd that was sometimes in the seats and most times trying to get to seats. Brutal game on the field. Tough getting into the stadium yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
Not a fun situation, and you're packed in on top of people trying to get in.
Were people wearing masks?
No.
I didn't figure.
I was wearing a mask, and I felt like me and my buddy were wearing masks, and I felt like people were staring at us. For like
probably were.
Like, what are you doing wearing a mask? Like, oh, I don't know. We're in the middle of a deadly pandemic, and we are piggyback riding each other right now. So, but that was the only time I felt like...
uncomfortable.
Yes.
Not in the seats?
Definitely not in the seats.
Yeah.
I sat in the club yesterday. Nobody was wearing their masks inside the club. I didn't really hang out in there, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But
but in the seats, you felt fine.
Totally. There's a breeze, you know.
Yeah.
Plus, it's like people just aren't in their seats. I don't know. You know.
Yeah. Watching the game, it looked like there were a lot of empty seats.
I don't know. It was perplexing. If we would have won, maybe I wouldn't be so frustrated about it. But I woke up angry today with the way, like, it all worked. It took us, I don't know, I think we were 5 minutes late getting in the game. Like, 35 minutes to get into the stadium.
Ooh.
Now, it is partially on us, because we didn't go in until late. We went in at, like, 25-1.
Oh, well, then, yeah, that is your fault.
Which is, yeah, it was just on the other side of 12:30 for the 1:05 start. Now, in the past, 15 minutes, no problem.
Well, they had some issue with the mobile ticketing.
They didn't read the phones very well.
Yeah.
So when you were... Think
Which
of it
is
like
all
this.
Mobile ticketing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There wasn't even cash transactions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those ticket readers, if you had a ticket and you walk up and somebody, you know, scans your ticket and you go... That's a fairly quick transaction.
Yes.
a lot of people with the phone, the mobile ticketing, they have four tickets on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening for a lot of people I know is they were trying to flick to the next ticket, and the app was like closing out.
Oh.
So there was just a lot of logistic things I don't think that they thought about ahead of time. It should have been stressed big time, I think. Get in there early. Go in early. Go in an hour early if you can. Because it was a real drag getting in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I think I'm more upset about it because the Steelers lost 26-17 yesterday.
Sure.
And ended up losing Tyson Alualu, which is devastating. He'd been playing amazing. Cam Hayward said, I don't want to say London Bridge is falling down, but we have to grow from this. What?
Well, a lot of defensive injuries, which they
TJ
were great
Watts
last week.
Injury, Devin Bush, Joe Hayden. Man. All right, Mike will have more on that coming up. Jerry Dulac, Tim Benz, and Stan Saverin with a power hour of Steelers talk since you were talking about Stevie Van Zandt. Figured we'd start off with the boss this morning. It's the DV Morning Show.
Ben is back. Throws it long down the left sideline. Chase Claypool pulls it in with a diving grab inside the 40 of the Oakland Raiders. Gets up and keeps on chugging. Gets down to the 30. Gets down to the 25. Let's see if they have him down by contact. No, they got him where he is at the 25-yard line. How about that catch by Chase Claypool?
Yeah, Chase with a big one there, but not enough yesterday to get it done as the Steelers lose to the Raiders. At home, the home opener, and they lose so much more than that. Their defense, which after week one looked like it was going to be the second coming of the Steel Curtain, now completely decimated. Just brutal. Michael, I have your sports coming up in a little bit. Good to see the tailgating back yesterday. Had a good time with the tailgate.
A lot of it.
Yeah, you were down there for the Stage AE tailgate, right?
Yes, I hosted the Stage AE tailgate, and it was packed.
Packed everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was really crowded. Well,
it was such a beautiful day.
Man, it was hot. It was definitely
it was not
hot.
Great football weather, but it was a great day.
If you sat in the sun yesterday at the stadium, you got fried. And that might have been why you didn't see a lot of people in their seats, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
Because the side of the stadium that they show on television is the sunny side.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're sitting out there for any length of time and you're just getting beat down.
You're wearing a black jersey.
Yeah, because it was really hot in the parking lots. Like, scorching. Which makes it tough to eat sausage, you know?
Yeah, that's more of a cold weather dish.
Yeah. I went to, speaking of eating sausage, I went to Oktoberfest at Penn Brewery.
Oh.
It was fun. All outside, you know, affair.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good deal. Saw Tim Benz there, our guest who's coming up at 8:45.
Nice.
His mug was bigger than he is. I told him he could take a bird bath in the mug. He'd climb right in there. Those big steins. It's Oktoberfest season. I love the kielbasa.
A lot of fests.
A lot of bratwurst coming off the grill. Saw some amazing concoctions at the tailgates yesterday. Valued like this one. Instead of buffalo chicken dip, buffalo chicken of the woods dip. You know the mushroom chicken of the woods?
Oh, I did not. I've never heard of that.
It was Oh yeah, chicken of the woods is like a mushroom. It's like a, I don't know if it's like a chanterelle, but you know, it's another kind of mushroom. Mm. Anyways, buffalo mushroom dip.
Hmm.
I saw a bunch of people who were just eating mushrooms and like no
different.
No
enjoyment.
Just some psilocybin to get through the day yesterday.
Wow, really? For the Steelers game,
there were tons of there was all kinds of parties going on down there.
Somebody was smoking pot because I was leaving. You know, and the crowds were coming in. I'm like,
somebody. That's like saying somebody was drinking. Somebody had
is that
alcohol.
A normal thing? People just walk down the street smoking weed. And,
yeah.
Wow.
It's decriminalized. So in the city of Pittsburgh, anyway, so people feel emboldened. Yeah, but I was yelling and screaming my head off at the game and, you know, rah-rahed it up pretty good.
Good.
It was the first game, home opener especially, I did without my friend Kevin. So mm-hmm. It was like, you know, a little emotional yesterday.
Sure, yeah.
For me.
That's understandable.
And I did see Chris Porter comedian Chris Porter there and our buddy Mike Travers, who were at the Improv all weekend long. And I saw Colby Armstrong yesterday. And in true Colby Armstrong fashion, we got to talking about Tiger King, of course.
Well, naturally.
And Colby told me that he hopes, or he was hoping Trump was going to pardon Tiger King because, quote, I like his music. He's got to be the only fan.
What was he smoking?
Yeah, right, exactly. That's a little hash from our Canadian friend, I'm sure. Yeah, never heard anybody who was a fan of Tiger King's music before. That was the first time.
It's not even his.
Right, he's like Milli Vanilli. It's like Methy Vanilli. When we come back, Mike Pursuit has got your sports on the
DVE Sports.
Mike Pursuit with your sports now on the DVE Morning Show.
Sports is now brought to you by Kia. The Steelers lost players before the ball was even kicked off yesterday at Heinz Field against the Raiders. They lost a couple of more on the way to losing to the Raiders, which inspired a mea culpa from head coach Mike Tomlin.
I didn't think we had enough detail or enough playmaking on possession downs. A lot of that, you know, had to do with our inability to make plays in spots when attrition set in, but that's the nature of this thing. So, you know, put that on me. We got to do a better job of planning and insulating some of our down-the-line guys, and we got to get them ready to play better because it was obvious in them weighty moments, particularly in the second half, possession downs and things of that nature, we didn't play with enough detail. We didn't adjust well enough. And so that's just the nature of this thing.
Yeah, appreciate the admission, but there's only so much you can do to prepare Jahmyr Jones to replace T.J. Watt.
Right.
And it ain't going to work. And that was as big a problem as anything yesterday. Steelers found out during the warm-up when it was time to turn in the inactive list that Joe Hayden and Devin Bush wouldn't play because of groin injuries. Then they lost T.J. Watt during the course of the first half, and they lost nose tackle Tyson Alualu on the first defensive series of the game.
That's a season-ending injury.
And, you know, once Watt went, the Raiders got three field goals in the first half despite numerous chances to score touchdowns. And the defense rose up in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
In the second half, the Raiders were able to blast away and bombs away in a 61-yard dagger in the fourth quarter. Derek Carr to Henry Ruggs III. And the Steelers end up losing the game 26-17. The offense struggled again, as it did in Buffalo, and quarterback Ben Roethlisberger doesn't see one quick fix that'll solve the Steelers' all-or-nothing offense. They seem to pull off a big play periodically and get very little accomplished in between those. Roethlisberger, like Tomlin, took responsibility for the loss and said he knows where the fix has to begin.
We need everything. That's what I'm saying. There's not one thing. It just starts with the quarterback and me. I have to be better. And once we get it figured out, that helps the run game. It helps the short passing game, the explosion plays. So, like I said, not watching it yet. I'll go back and watch it tonight. But just the feeling I have is that I didn't play good enough.
You also got hit 10 times. And you knew coming in the Raiders had a fearsome pass rush.
And
with the Raiders able to play from ahead in the second half, the Steelers reduced to passing also because they couldn't run the ball very well. Najee Harris had 38 yards on 10 carries, 14 of those on one attempt. The Steelers only had 39 rushing yards all day. I mentioned that 61-yard bomb from Carr to Ruggs in the fourth quarter, that after the Steelers had closed to within two. That play reestablished a 9-point lead for the Raiders, and free safety Minkah Fitzpatrick said it was on him mostly because he was paying a little too much attention to tight end Darren Waller.
He ran, you know, directly at me, got me to sit on my feet. You know, he's a big target for him, especially on big plays. I just can't stop my feet. I gotta stay in the middle of the field, gotta be where I'm at. But yeah, that's on me 110%. I just gotta play better, do better.
Yeah, great plan by the Raiders. It was pretty clear the Steelers were going to try to make somebody other than Darren Waller beat them. He had come in with four consecutive 100-yard games. He was only targeted seven times, only had five catches for 65 yards. They kept him out of the end zone.
The bad news is
They got the ball thrown over their heads for a 61-yard score. They gave up a third and Renfro, a long third down conversion.
Yeah. Both of those were killers.
And the Raiders found a way to take what was there, as the Steelers paid a lot of attention to Waller and paid the price for it. We also mentioned a moment ago that they lost Watt for the game and Alu-Alu to a fractured ankle. Cam Hayward admitting afterward that the Alu-Alu injury was a gut punch.
Man, damn, that hurt. To be honest with you, I wasn't ready for that. You know, it goes back to training in the offseason. They got to, you know, get him to stick here and him staying around, him working his tail off. Man, I thought Tyson was destined for one of his best seasons. You know, I've said it before, he's the good cop to my bad cop. He settles the group down, and, you know, sometimes I can be too high or too low, and he brings me back down, and he brings the team back down. But I'm not going to sit here and make it a eulogy, but, you know, we're going to miss him out there on the field.
Steelers fall to 1-1. That's probably where we thought they were going to be back when the schedule came out after two games. Didn't expect to win in Buffalo. Didn't expect to lose to a banged-up Raiders team at home that had to play on Monday night into overtime and then fly across the country and play an early game as a West Coast team and all that stuff that people love to cite when they're in that kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Oh, look how hard this is. Well, John Gruden and the Raiders find a way. So the entire AFC North division is 1-1 after the Browns bounce back after their season-opening loss to beat Houston. Cincinnati falls in Chicago, and the Ravens beat the Chiefs 36-35 in Sunday Night Football.
Shocked by that one.
Phenomenally entertaining game. But Steelers, they got to get healthy on defense, because as we've talked about, you know, leading into that Buffalo game and in the wake of it that opened the season, they're trying to figure it out on offense right now because of all of the changes they've undergone, and they're not capable of a whole lot on that side of the ball. So the defense has to do the heavy lifting and keep things manageable so that the few points the offense can score will be enough. And defense just wasn't capable of doing that in the second half yesterday because started running out of guys.
Brutal.
I know depth is important, but they're you get to a saturation point, and I think they got there yesterday.
Thought we'd be 1-1 to start the season, but I thought it was going to go the other way.
Yeah. Cincinnati coming here this coming Sunday, and then the Steelers go to Green Bay, which plays Detroit tonight on Monday Night Football. College football, Penn State's up to number 6 after improving to 3-0 with a 28-20 victory over Auburn on Saturday night, the Nittany Lions annual whiteout game. Man, was that a phenomenal event, at least looked like it from on TV. Mm-hmm. Pitt falls to Western Michigan at home 44-41. Western Michigan of the Mid-American Conference. So Heinz Field hosted, Pitt losing to a Mid-American Conference team and the Steelers losing to the Raiders.
Someone asked me which loss was worse. I went with Pitt losing to Western Michigan.
Pitt or the Steelers?
Yeah.
Absolutely Pitt.
Yeah.
That is a face plant.
Face plant.
I mean, you're coming off a guy. And I know
you beat Tennessee.
Tennessee's had better teams than this, but it's an SEC win on the road, and then you come home, and that's what you got? Wow.
It was crowded down there, too, man. A lot of people went to that game. Well, at least the parties were happening. The tailgates were jamming down around Heinz Field on Saturday.
West Virginia, big win as well.
Big win.
27-21 over number 15, Virginia Tech. Mountaineers improved to 2-1. And last but not least, Randall, the Pirates are now 0-15 in sweep opportunities.
Did you catch it?
I looked at it. It was over 200. It was minus 210 or something, and I said pass.
I didn't even know.
Yeah, I did check.
That's because we didn't check the last couple of times.
The Washington one, because it was a football weekend. Yeah, I checked this time, but I wasn't trusting the Marlins at more than 2-1.
I had to. Well, no, I wouldn't have either. Not to mention that the Pirates have never gone a full season without a sweep, and I would have thought that would have been the one, you know? Like, they got to 14. All right, they're going to close it out. This is the note they want to go out on at the end of the season. Eh-eh.
Well, you might have thought it would have been the one when they got two runs in the ninth to take a 4-3 lead. but the Pirates surrendered a run in the bottom of the ninth to tie the game at 4. Then they got another one in the top of the 10th to make it 5-4, but surrendered 2 in the bottom of the 10th to lose 6-5. So apparently it just ain't happening. they are in Cincinnati.
The last potential sweep against Cincinnati was a 1-0 game.
Yeah.
I mean, just on the brink. All right, Val's got news top of the hour. What do you got, Valerie?
We're going to go through the list of winners from last night's Emmy Awards.
The NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge, wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with 3 legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Like tonight, Packers, Lions. I like the Packers to come back big time. And I'm going to build a same-game parlay. I'm going to take Packers money line, Rodgers over in passing yards because I think he's going to blow up tonight, and then an under of total points in the fourth quarter. That's the kind of stuff you can bet there. It's the best. You get easy, quick payouts. It's safe and secure. It's America's number one sports book for a reason. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet, so lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up with promo code RANDY to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code RANDY, so they know I sent you. Got to be 21 or older and present in Pennsylvania. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states. On mobile or web, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All in one app.
It's a game of attrition, you know, and I think guys just got to be ready for that next man up mentality. You got to be really engaged in practice. That way, you know, when you step on that field, you are ready to go. And, you know, it's not like we're asking you to be a Superman and, you know, make every play, but just do your job.
Boy, it just sounds like Cam is in emergency mode right now. Already trying to rally the backups. Defense was decimated with injury. Joe Hayden, TJ Watt, Devin Bush, Tyson Alualu, all out.
We have no time frame for these guys, right?
Not specifically. I mean, the early word on TJ was that it wasn't super serious. But who knows? I mean, Tyson Alualu is gone for the year, which was brutal. Because like Hayward said, he was having such a good camp, a, you know, great first game, poised to have an awesome year. And then 2 games in, that quest came to an end. So the Steelers lose yesterday to the Raiders at Heinz Field. I got to tell you, it was like absolutely jam-packed trying to get in. 35 minutes it took us to get in. And I'd say that's probably on the like bad end of the average. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It probably took most people around 20 to 25. But it's because those ticket readers are just a pain in the ass. And now everyone has to have mobile ticketing. Yeah. And it takes longer. And everyone was jammed into little rows.
Hot.
Nobody wearing masks. Which is like, you know, all right, whatever. We're on top of each other. I wore a mask in that scenario. And
yeah, I wore one at the tailgate.
I was so happy to see the people that I sit with every year.
Regulars.
Haven't seen it for 2 years. And we've been sitting in the same seats together for like 16 years. And, you know, I know one of them it has a compromised immune system. So we wore masks the whole game because we didn't want to make her feel worse.
Right.
So it was
like she can't come.
Right. And she wasn't asking for that. But the point is I felt like wearing the mask, people are like, you wuss.
Yeah. I feel like that everywhere I wear one.
I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm just doing what they told me to do. And that might just be, you know, me in my own head. Or they think, wuss. Because in the bathroom, no guys are wearing them. And I'm like, guys, this is the one space you probably want to wear them.
All the time.
I know.
Forget pandemic.
You have a, you have a, an excuse to wear a mask into that disgusting bathroom. Steelers do lose. It was a beautiful day. It was still fun. The tailgates were great. I got home. And watched, I went down, I was parked in a garage, and there was no way I was getting out of there for a long time. And I'm like, all right, well, go downtown.
Just hang.
Go have dinner.
Sure.
And went downtown and had a great dinner. Awesome. Went to Taco, slammed some tacos, tons of people everywhere. like that outdoor dining scene. It was just so vibrant after the game. Pittsburgh looked so beautiful yesterday, and it was just juxtaposed with that crappy loss. You know, like walking past, like back over the bridge after the game, over the Clemente Bridge. The sun is setting on the Allegheny.
Beautiful day.
It was just so beautiful, except
that ugly loss.
And then I'm like, you know, having this like, you know, well, it's just a beautiful night and it's at least nice to be out. And then, you know, one guy throwing up by PNC Park.
Just one.
Just one guy kind of by himself, kind of went off.
It was a big day
from
yesterday.
The rest of his friends, you know, just kind of throwing up.
Got to get back in the groove.
And it wasn't like a, it wasn't a an aggravated throw up. It was an, I got to hurry up and throw up. He's kind of, and then got back at it. And had some good food pregame and postgame. Like I said, a solid experience except for one thing. The game was horrible.
Yeah, it was not nice.
Terrible.
And someone ejected.
Yeah, Trey Turner spit on a guy, but apparently someone spit on him first. I don't know. That's the other thing that stinks about being in the stands for the game is you don't get all the replays. You don't get all the commentary.
Yeah.
So we were relying on one another. Everyone's on their phone on Twitter trying to find out what happened. We're like, why did he get kicked out?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he spit on someone.
Yeah.
Because everybody was defending him before. That's like, what the hell? You can't get kicked out for that. He was just doing the same thing, blah, blah, blah. You know, and everyone's mounting a defense for him. And then finally someone goes, oh, he spit on a guy. And everyone goes, oh.
Hard to defend that.
Okay. Well, we can't defend that.
Robert Spillane was all over the field yesterday.
He had a good game. Yeah. In the stead of Devin Bush. I don't know how long Devin's out for. Like,
my gosh.
We were like chuckling about the Ravens' spate of injuries, and now the Steelers are suffering the same fate. Michael have more on that at the bottom of the hour. Steelers are now 1-1. The Bengals come in here this weekend. They lost to the Bears yesterday. The entire AFC North is 1-1. Right.
Good.
Now. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, I liked how you perked up there. Oh, it's not so bad. Pretty good. I disagree. Wanted to be 2-0. I thought the win against Buffalo was a gift and we should have capitalized on it and we just gave it away to the Raiders. I thought we were going to lose to the Bills and beat the Raiders. But alas, Derek Carr, Gruden and company.
Cincinnati next week, right?
Yeah. Joe Burrow and company coming to town. We've got Jerry Dulac on the show later. Tim Benz also. I saw Benzie at the Penn Brewery thing this weekend, the Oktoberfest.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
Great times. The band played the Pittsburgh Polka. I was so happy. I just wish we heard that song more often in Pittsburgh. If I wasn't from Pittsburgh and being my age, I would think, like, had I never been there, that they play it in the airport.
Maybe they should.
Wouldn't that be great if you walked off the plane at Pittsburgh International and got into the terminal and dun, 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 we're from the town with the great football team.
If they played it in the tram.
Yeah, and someone just gives you a kielbasa when you walk on. Complimentary. Val's News next. What do you got?
We're going to take a quick look at the Emmys last night.
You didn't watch, right?
No, I didn't watch.
I watched a little bit of it. I was bouncing back and forth between the game because the game was great. Chiefs and Ravens was an awesome game. And it was a terrible Emmys.
Yeah, it got panned.
The irony of the show that is giving out awards for great television being a terrible television show.
They all are.
So, Val, they had these comedy vignettes, and they were, like, so bad that you wondered, like, is this a bit in and of itself, how bad this is?
Yeah, I just, award shows are tough for me to stomach.
And Conan O'Brien was hammered. Did you see any of that? He jumped on stage with Colbert. He was saluting the president of the Academy.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
That's so funny. All right. And if you're a Ted Lasso fan, you were probably pretty happy. Did you get down with that show yet?
No.
I just can't get down with it. I watched the first season. I'm like, delightful. People ask me what I thought. Delightful show. Delightful.
I need a delightful show.
Then you should watch Ted Lasso.
I should watch it.
But like, it crosses over into, okay.
Ridiculous.
It's just... Men don't hug each other in locker rooms to show emotional support for stuff that's going on in their family. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I watched the first episode.
Maybe they should. Maybe they should. And I think that's the point that Ted Lasso was trying to make. But when you watch it, it's just like, okay. All right.
I watched the first episode of The Morning Show, season 2.
How was it?
Disappointing.
Really?
First season was incredible.
Well, you see, you have to wait until you back up a few episodes, I think.
Maybe.
That's really what you need to do. You wait till there's like five of them, and then you binge those. Because sometimes they're just doing some exposition and setting up the rest of the season, and it sucks to watch that first episode.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll have all that for you coming up as we lick our wounds after an embarrassing Steeler loss yesterday. Fouls up next.
Pittsburgh.
Saw some amazing concoctions at the tailgates yesterday. Valued like this one. Instead of buffalo chicken dip, buffalo chicken of the woods dip. You know the mushroom chicken of the woods?
Oh, I did not. I've never heard of that.
It was Oh, yeah. Chicken of the woods is like a mushroom. It's like a, I don't know if it's like a chanterelle, but, you know, it's another kind of mushroom. Mm. Anyways, buffalo mushroom dip.
Hmm.
I saw a bunch of people who were just eating mushrooms and like no
different.
No
enjoyment.
Just some psilocybin to get through the day yesterday.
Wow. Really? For the Steelers game.
There were tons of there was all kinds of parties going on down there.
Somebody was smoking pot because I was leaving. You know, and the crowds were coming in. I'm like,
somebody. That's like saying somebody was drinking.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
Yeah. It's a, you know, it's a different smell in the air these days. And Steelers put a smell in the air yesterday. They stunk the joint up at Heinz Field. You know, so there were many empty seats, and I need to take a little of a defensive stance for the people who weren't in their seats on that side of the stadium. On the sunny side of the stadium, it had to feel like it was 100 degrees. It was blaringly hot.
Yeah, it was warm yesterday, and a lot of people were wearing jerseys.
Wearing jerseys, and it's tough, and you're sitting in those yellow seats, and you got the black jersey on, and the sun is just hitting you directly on those 1 o'clock games. And so I know it got very hot in that part of the stadium, but it is so depressing to look out on the stands. Like, when I came back at halftime, walked out to my seat, I missed the kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody back in their seats. And that often, I always bitch about that, like, nobody even tries to get back in their seat. We're losing home field advantage at Heinz Field because people are hanging out in the concourses, or in this case, maybe on that side of the stadium, trying to avoid the sun.
Getting a little shade.
But it's so disconcerting to see people filing out. There was 8 minutes left and people were leaving.
I saw I think your tweet or Instagram or something.
I was so pissed. Like, we need home field advantage.
Yeah, get in here. Support your team.
I made fun of the Bengals fans for doing the same thing last week. I guess I just like to think we're better.
Yeah, we all like to think that.
In people's defense, it was a nightmare getting into the game. Mm-hmm. It was a nightmare getting parked yesterday. Traffic was a mess.
Well, people are out of practice.
People are way out of practice. And
it's been, you know, a year and a half, almost 2 years.
Well, and the great weather, I think, brought a lot of people down.
Yeah.
Who weren't even going to the game.
I wondered that, too.
Because now it's like Disneyland outside for, you know, for drunks.
Outside. Yeah.
Like, I don't mean to say drunks. For revelers.
Who like to party.
Yeah.
Party.
For Steeler fans.
A lot of boats.
Yeah, that's kind of become a big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been for a while, but there is an armada of Steeler fans down there. The Raiders fans, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of them. A lot.
I was surprised, too.
Even on that first interception, you could hear it in the stands. Like, there was an audible cheer.
And I saw guys at the tailgate. They had, like, the big Raiders logo and a giant chain around their
yes.
neck. Like, did they get in the stadium with those things on?
Yeah, there were people sitting in front of me wearing spikes and had chains on. And I Instagrammed it, like, how do you get through TSA with this stuff?
Right.
No, I'm just a Raiders fan. Oh, that's fine.
Not a big deal.
Terrorist? Nope, Raiders fan. Close enough. My God.
And I don't know if they were fake. Maybe they were styrofoam chains made to look, you know, how you can do that. But they were really shiny, like real chains.
Yeah, they were probably plastic. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they were real. It would be really dumb if you wore heavy chains into a game.
Yeah, I would think.
Plus, you
so,
couldn't go in with those. There's no way. Like, if they were smart, they'd fill them up with booze and you'd have a little, like...
Little shot.
Little straw to stick in the corner there. But it felt a lot like a Kenny Chesney concert in the parking lots because it was so hot, which caused some falling down. I saw a few girls lose their balance. God bless them. And one guy had a great stance. He had his butt on the like the foot ledge of a truck, you know, like the foot rail.
The bumper?
No.
Oh, like, okay. Step rail.
Step rail, yeah. He's like sitting on that, and he had his hands on a card table, like the fold-out table,
mm-hmm.
and he was just like trying to breathe and not throw up and just doing that. I'm like, breathe it out, dude. That's what you need to do. Breathe.
Get some shade.
Breathe. Folks, you can't forget to drink water. Got to drink lots of water in those situations.
Hydrate.
Hydrate. I didn't go crazy eating. Did okay.
No?
Nah, I had a hot dog in the game.
Oh, okay.
That was it. I had a big breakfast, and then I didn't want to, like, scarf down kielbasa when it was 100 degrees. It was
yeah,
so
that's
hot.
A tough one.
It was just so hot. Steelers suffered major injuries defensively yesterday.
Ugly
and
game.
It's got Cam Hayward absolutely reeling. Mike will have more on that later. We got Jerry Dulac, Tim Benz, a power hour of Steeler talk with Stan Saverin coming up, and Val's got the latest on what's happening.
Here's a Channel 11 Severe Weather Center forecast.
On Severe Weather Center 11.
That's crazy how cold it's going to be at the end of the week. 62 degrees now at DVE. The news is brought to us by Keystone Basement Systems, highest rated, most trusted, KeystoneBasementSystems.com. Officials at Heinz Field say that fans did have to wait in long lines yesterday due to confusion on the new paperless ticket policy to enter the stadium. More than 60,000 people were at the Steelers game against the Raiders yesterday, but many found themselves still stuck in a line outside at kickoff. Steelers Communications Director Bert Lawton said some fans had not downloaded their tickets to their mobile devices, which caused delays. The team said they're encouraging fans to come to the stadium early next Sunday with their tickets downloaded ahead of time.
So it makes perfect sense, that they were going to suffer some glitches the first time they did a full crowd with all mobile ticketing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is incumbent upon the fans to have your tickets ready to go. That being said, it's still going to take longer
yes.
than somebody handing a ticket, getting it scanned, and going through. Because the scanners don't read through. People have their phones in cases, and that's another thing. You should probably try to pop it out of the case. But it doesn't always read. I don't know if they got fingerprints on there or something like that, or the sun's hitting it. I don't know how that works, Val, but I know I watched...
Did you have issues?
Yesterday.
Ticket?
Put it this way. Like, I hand the guy my phone, 2, 3, 4, click. Okay, got it. I'm like, yeah, now there's another one. My buddy's ticket's on there, too. Then you have to flick it. And what was happening is every time I flicked to the next ticket,
mm-hmm.
it closed the app. And I had to reopen the app. Now, didn't take me 20 minutes in front of that guy, but it took me 2 minutes longer than it would have if it was just a ticket. Or maybe not.
Multiply that by 60,000 people.
Precisely.
Yes.
And also, there's just a lot of sort of Luddite Steeler fans, believe it or not, people who are not most technically savvy, technologically savvy, I should say, and just didn't understand. They're like, now what do I do? A lot of that.
That might have been me if I had gone to the game. 25-year-old Arnold Mann is facing charges this morning after allegedly opening fire at a baby shower. Three people suffered non-life-threatening gunshot wounds in the incident Saturday at the Kinloch Volunteer Fire Department in Lower Burrell. Isaiah Hampton is facing charges of aggravated assault and reckless endangerment. Federal officials are reporting the remains found in Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming are consistent with a description of Gabby Petito. An official autopsy set for tomorrow. Meanwhile, authorities in North Port, Florida, continue their search of an area preserve for the 22-year-old woman's fiancé, Brian Laundrie, who hasn't been seen for days. Federal officials have identified him as a person of interest, as he and Petito were on a cross-country road trip together while he returned home in her vehicle. She hasn't been seen for weeks. September is proving to be the deadliest month for the coronavirus since last winter. Data compiled by Johns Hopkins University showed more than 32,500 deaths through Saturday, compared with over 27,600 for all of last month. Deaths are averaging close to 2,000 a day, putting the U.S. on track for more lives lost this month than in July and August combined. Another day, another survey showing lots of people want to keep working from home or at least be able to work remotely some of the time. A survey by FlexJobs found 58% of respondents want to work from home full time. 39% say they would like a hybrid job that allows them to work at the office and at home. Just 3% want to return to the office full time. But just because workers want to work from home doesn't mean their employers agree. According to the survey, 42% said they're being required to get back to the office, while 27% said their employer is allowing them to have a flexible schedule. Just 17% said their employer is allowing full-time remote work. And it seems workers are willing to quit over those wishes. 44% of those surveyed said they know at least one person who has quit or is planning to quit their job because they're being told to come back into the office full time. 29% say they're looking for a new job that allows remote work. 17% say they would quit their current job if they didn't have remote work options. Robbie Krieger of The Doors will take part in a live Zoom Q&A session streamed from the Rough Trade Record Store in New York City on October 13th. Tickets include home delivery of a signed copy of his new memoir, Set the Night on Fire, Living, Dying, and Playing. That'll be published on October 12th. Alice Cooper is daring his fans to try his new poison burger. He's teamed up with Rockin' Brews restaurants to create the new cheeseburger, which includes jalapenos and Cooper's own Poison Reaper hot sauce.
Oh, my God.
He released a video on Instagram saying, "Sick things to come to Rockin' Brews." He dared fans to take the hashtag poison challenge. Alice is currently on tour with The Cult, but said he would be dropping by a few of the Rockin' Brews between shows to promote his poison burger. Does he not have the Alice Cooperstown restaurants anymore? I don't know why he wouldn't do it there.
I don't know, but that burger sounds brutal.
Painful.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I carry antacids in my pocket, like change.
In case you try the poison burger?
In case I come across a poison burger. I mean, for the Steeler game, I have, you know, have like a little change pocket in your shorts or your pants or whatever.
Yeah, a little
yeah,
corner.
Yeah, I had like Tums in there.
Wow.
I'm like, look, I am not going to sit here and be dyspeptic watching the Steelers.
They made it bad enough.
I am bringing my medicine.
I thought you meant like the little rubber thing that you would squeeze and it would pop open.
Oh, no, like a change purse
yeah.
thing. No, no. Remember those ones you used to get when you were a kid? Well, I don't think they have, like, there would be like the squeezy ones. And
yeah. It's rubber and it's yeah. round. And
yeah,
it's
but like adults
slit.
Don't use those, right? Wasn't it just something you used when you were a kid?
I thought my grandfather used to have one for coins.
Usually a grandfather has like a leather pouch made out of like a, you know, yak scrotum that they got in the war or something.
I don't recall that. The Crown and Ted Lasso led the winners at a subdued, somewhat intimate Emmy Awards show on Sunday. The 73rd annual event hosted by Cedric the Entertainer marked the return to an in-person ceremony following last year's virtual ceremony. It's not getting great reviews.
It was really bad.
In fact, it's being mocked. In some instances,
the comedy vignettes, the bits they did were so awful. I thought it might have been a bit in and of itself. Like, oh, is this like mocking somehow turning the sketch premise on its head by being absolutely terrible? And they're putting it on in the middle of the celebration of the best television of the year. Oh, I see. Brilliant. High minded. Oh, no. Just a terrible Cedric the Entertainer sketch. I felt so bad for him. They made him do like 10 sketches, and they all sucked.
Well, here's one of them.
Rita Wilson.
Cedric the Entertainer.
The rhyme's about over, is about to end. Just want to say to you, you are my best friend.
They should have had Chet on
TV. You got what I need. Yeah, Chet would have been much better at that than his mom. I think if they would have got,
I don't know if he coached her or not.
Chet Hanks in there. I don't know. I thought it was strange that when they did the in memoriam part of it, they had a picture of Biz Markie, and I was like, oh yes, that wonderful television star.
That's what I was wondering.
Biz Markie.
Like, did he do anything on television other than videos?
Who could forget growing up and gathering around the television to watch Biz Markie when we were kids. Like, he was on MTV. That was
right,
it, like,
yeah.
Once in a while.
Videos.
But no more than anybody else of that era. I mean, look, I love Biz Markie. I'm not besmirching the Biz. I wouldn't do that.
Just not fitting.
I just don't understand the Emmys. They had a couple people in there that, like, Charles Grodin, like, he didn't do a lot of TV. He had one TV show for half a minute that nobody watched. Remember he had that talk show? It was, like, Oberman-esque.
I don't.
He did. He was, like, doing news talk, like an Oberman kind of show. I think it was on CNN or something like that. But exactly. You don't remember that. So he's not known for that. I felt like they were glomming on to more famous people when there were plenty of television people
right.
that died. And here's the other thing. You know you're getting old when you know every single person that died. Val, I was going to text you. I was going to be like, dude, I know every person that died in memoriam. Oh, my God, I'm old. It's like Charlie Robinson. Oh, yes, from Night Court. Like Markie Post. Another Night Court gem. Good Lord. What's happening to Night Court's cast?
Oh, are any of them alive?
No, Harry Anderson died.
Is John Larroquette alive?
Yeah, I believe he's alive. But yeah, that's Selma Diamond died. The other one that's still alive is who played Roz? The comedian. She's like
Marsha.
Yes, Marsha Warfield.
Yes.
Yeah. She's still around. But yeah, Val, I knew everybody. I'm like, oh, Marianne from Gilligan's Island. Yep.
Yes, John Larroquette is alive.
All right, good. He'll be relieved to hear that.
The Crown, which had the most nominations, left with the most trophies. The Netflix drama swept the drama categories. Outstanding drama series, lead actor, lead actress, supporting actor, supporting actress, outstanding writing, and outstanding directing. Ted Lasso did well also, winning outstanding comedy series. Lead actor for Jason Sudeikis, supporting actor, supporting actress. The Queen's Gambit was named Outstanding Limited Series.
That guy, Val, he was the villain of the night.
I looked for that video and can't find it.
It's probably because the Academy wants to spare the general public from having to watch it again. What happened was he went up after they gave a Lifetime Achievement Award to Debbie Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave her, it's like the Governor's Award or something
yes.
like that. So she gets a standing O and goes up there to talk about her life's work. I mean, entire life worth of, television, directing, acting, choreography. I mean, she's done a ton.
Yes.
And so the music started playing when she was on. And she was like, not even going to listen to you. I'm not done. And everyone cheered. They're like, you go, Debbie. You talk as long as you want. You're Debbie frickin' Allen. And then this jackass wins for Queen's Gambit, which I loved. Love me some Gambit. Now, if Gambit goes up there and talks for 20 minutes, I'm in. Love her to death. But this guy goes up there. He looks like a nerdier Judd Apatow, and he will not stop talking. And they're trying to play him off. And he goes, I'm not going to stop. Please just stop the music. And he was like chastising them. And he's like, please. So this is
who I've never heard of this guy.
Childish. I never have either. But he had, you pull out the cards and you go, I want to thank my agent and all the cast members and the other nominees. You know, the standard fare.
Yeah.
This guy pulled out a 2-page front and back dissertation. And it's like, you won an Emmy, not the Nobel Prize. And you're not Debbie Allen. Like, nobody's cheering for you to keep going.
They'll never give him another award again.
No, and that's exactly what I was thinking.
Because he'll do that.
He screwed himself with the Academy. Even if the guy does something Emmy worthy, they're going to be like, that jackass will talk all night. I'm not voting for him. It's like the kid who runs for, high school president, and he goes, if I'm president, we won't have to do anything at all, and they'll keep speeches short, goodbye. And everyone goes, yeah, that's what I'm voting for.
The Queen's Gambit seems like it was 5 years ago.
I know. It seems like it was the same. Well, when was Tiger King? Was Tiger King in...
What is this? Beginning of 2020, I think.
Okay. Queen's Gambit was after that, I think. But it does seem like forever
ago. It was so long ago.
By the way, I said it earlier, ran into Colby Armstrong at the game yesterday, told me he was hoping that Tiger King would get pardoned because he's a big fan of his music.
Which is not his music.
Methy Vanilli. They got another band to sing for him. But I just had never heard anybody who was a fan of his music. Like, yeah, he does bad stuff to Tigers, but boy, he's got some good songs.
He can really write a song. RuPaul's Drag Race walked away with competition program. That win gave RuPaul the record for the most Emmy wins by a person of color with 11. Last week, tonight, with John Oliver named Outstanding Variety Talk Series, SNL Outstanding Variety Sketch Series. You mentioned Debbie Allen got the Governor's Award. With her win for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy, Jean Smart now has 4 Emmys.
She's so good in Hacks. So good.
For the first time, women won directing Emmys in the comedy and drama categories. Handmaid's Tale set a record for the series with the most losses in a night. Despite being nominated for 21 awards, the Hulu show walked away empty-handed. Not one.
Really?
Not one. Seth Rogen ripped the fact that they were all jammed into that little small space together.
Let me start by saying there is way too many of us in this little room. What are we doing? They said this was outdoors. It's not. They lied to us. We're in a hermetically sealed tent right now. I would not have come to this. Why is there a roof? It's more important that we have 3 chandeliers than that we make sure we don't kill Eugene Levy tonight. That is what has been decided.
That might have been the highlight of the night.
I think it was.
Forecast today, warm and humid, temperatures in the low 80s. It is 61 at DVE.
That and when Jason Sudeikis won for Ted Lasso, and he's like, I'd like to thank Lauren. Where's Lauren? Oh, great. He went to take a dump. Then I had to picture Lauren Michaels, like, dumping.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it just takes longer.
What award did he get when he was stoned? Was that last year's Emmys?
He said he wasn't stoned.
Oh, okay.
Sure that doesn't mean he wasn't. I've said that before. When we come up, no, Dad, what makes you think that? Mike's got your sports when we come back. Steelers, they're going to play like they were stoned yesterday. Not so good. Bad game for the black and gold, but
speaking
injuries. Oh, man, huge. Just, you know, as good as I felt last Monday at this time, I don't quite feel that bad right now. I don't feel as bad as I did good last week, but I'm not feeling great.
But if they lose that way again next week, be rough.
Here's the problem as I see it. Is like there was some guy yelling at me, yelling next to me, you know, Roethlisberger's done, you know. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think he has the athleticism that he had as a youngster to play in front of a terrible line and still be effective. There are very few quarterbacks, by the way, who can. And I think if you can't protect Ben Roethlisberger, you're not going to have an offense that moves the ball. I know that's a controversial take. But the offensive line, I think, is the biggest issue right now they have offensively. But the old Chuck Knollism, they have problems and they are many or something like that, and they are great or whatever it is.
That's
where they are right now. Mike's got the full report for you. We got Tim Benz, Jerry Dulac, Stan Saverin with a Power Hour Steeler Talk coming up in the 9 o'clock hour here on
DVE Sports.
Mike, I know you'll appreciate this. At the end of the game yesterday, when we went back to the super hot parking lots to tailgate, I saw a guy running through. You know how you have the remnants of what once was a beautiful spread of food?
Yes.
That gets kind of pulled back out haphazardly and is just laying there in assorted states of proper food preservation. Some, not so much. The dude took a cold bun, reached into a vat of sausage with like sauce, like tomato, like a tomato sauce, kind of full fist in, grabbed a piece of sausage out, sauce all over the hand with the fist, whoop, shoved the piece in all in one fell swoop, and then did a whoop to flick it all off of his hand.
So it's done. That's a pro.
There's, well, you know what? That's a guy who's upset with the Steelers' loss, right? He just doesn't care.
But he was going to have his sausage anyway.
He was having his sausage and eating it too, Mike.
Yes.
The Steelers.
That guy is a pro.
It was like watching, like, you know when you see those, like, pelicans flop down, they get a fish and get out? It was like that.
A lot of people get too upset when they lose.
There was a lot of upset people.
They let it ruin their postgame.
Not this guy.
I get it.
He went right for it.
This guy was getting his sausage.
The Steelers did not get their sausage yesterday.
They had a little more focus and attention to detail, such as that guy had. Maybe they wouldn't have lost to the Raiders 26-17. Sports This Hour brought to you by Dormont Appliance. But Detail was lacking. Execution was lacking. Scoring was lacking.
Oh, yeah.
Big stops on defense lacking. Healthy players lacking.
Lot lacking.
Tough day. Cam Hayward not ready to push the panic button after Raiders 26, Steelers 17, but like a good Western Pennsylvanian that he's become, he knows where the Steelers are at, and he knows the response that's required.
I say, you know, London Bridge is falling down, but we got to grow from this. We got to continue to keep harping on our mistakes and understand how big those plays are, because situational football, I think, is where the game is won.
That's where the Raiders won it yesterday. How about 23 yards to Hunter Renfro on 3rd and 9 in the third quarter? That was followed up by a 9-yard touchdown pass that gave the Raiders a 16-7 lead. And how about 61 yards, Derek Carr to Henry Ruggs the third.
That was the game.
3rd and 10 in the fourth quarter after the Steelers had closed within 16-14. Offense managed to get another field goal and make it a one-score game again, but the Raiders countered by using almost the entirety of the three-plus minutes that were left after that Chris Boswell bomb.
By the way, some people were getting on Tomlin for kicking the field goal there because it's the longest field goal in Heinz Field history. Yeah. It was not a gimme.
Oh, well, you needed a score.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, you got to get down there twice anyways.
The 4th and 1 that he punted on the previous possession.
I wouldn't have done that.
I probably would have gone for it, but if you were going to go for it, ask yourself this. What would you have run?
Spider-Y Banana 2Z X out.
Spider-Y 2K Banana. That's John Gruden's play.
Yeah, he would never suspect it.
They're groping offensively. It was similar to the Buffalo game. It's hard for them right now to get anything established, and they hit a big play every once in a while, and sometimes those lead to a score, but there's nothing you can kind of hang your hat on right now and say, okay, this is what they're going to do in this situation. This is how they're going to get through this dilemma. They're kind of throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. And that is not conducive to comfortable games and, you know, the ability to dictate. So that's why they're 1-1 in Buffalo. The defense was able to do a lot of the heavy lifting yesterday.
Yes.
Wasn't capable of doing as much.
Because no T.J. Watt, no Devin Bush, no Joe Hayden.
Tyson Alualu hurt on the first possession for the Raiders. And there's a lot of guys out there, you know, number 40s out there, number 25s out there, number 31s out there. I mean, I know who these guys are, but they're not established defensive players yet. And the Raiders were able to exploit it. Mike Tomlin knows the Steelers have to get better, as his defensive captain Cam Hayward does, but Tomlin's of the opinion that that was going to be the case, win or lose.
Such is life in the NFL, man. We'll absorb this and make corrections and grow from it, man. More than anything, we got to grow. Win or lose, we got to grow. We got too many young people, new people in significant roles, man. They just got to grow in terms of understanding those roles, the details required to win, the skills relative to their position to execute in those critical moments. Back to work for us.
Yeah, back to work. The Bengals are coming to town this Sunday. Much has been made, ever since the draft, ever since training camp started. All the young guys, the two linemen, Freiermuth, Harris, new scheme, new coordinators, some new offensive coaches. Ben Roethlisberger still having a hard time swallowing where they are offensively right now as opposed to where he thinks they need to be.
I don't know. It's frustrating because I put a lot of stinking time in, more than I probably ever have. And, I'm not really sure. I'm just I've got to get it figured out, though, because I am frustrated that I'm not playing well enough. The good news is it's still early. You know, we got a long road ahead of us, and, got a lot of time to try and get it fixed.
He said that a lot yesterday.
Yeah, I think some of that had to be a response to the Chris Carter nonsense, did it not?
I wasn't even paying attention to that. You were telling me about it. I had no idea that was even happening.
Yeah, I mean, he gets ripped, and Chris Carter says he's not the sharpest guy. I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he called him an excuse maker and said he was going to blame the coordinator. And
he never did.
I did ask him why they are so reliant on 3 wide receivers, 1 running back, and 1 tight end these first 2 games, and he said, you got to ask Canada. Which, I mean, he doesn't, bring the guys in from the sideline.
We didn't say, you got to ask Canada. I don't know why the hell we're doing that either.
Correct.
If you're saying that's the implication.
Well, I think they really need to
The implication.
The Najee Harris touchdown to me is an example of the kind of thing they have to do a whole lot more often, and that is get him in space on linebackers or safeties and let him do his thing. He's not going to run the ball very well right now because they don't run block.
Right.
But he can beat a backer or a safety one-on-one, and then he can make the next guy miss, and he can make the next guy miss. I think Freiermuth is an underutilized asset right now. And I get that they really like their receivers, and they have really good receivers, but with the lack of running game, secondaries are able to take those guys away a lot. So just nag at them, you know, pick away underneath and, you know.
Yeah.
Tight ends, running backs. And when I say running backs, I mean Harris.
Right.
And see where that takes you. Go more too tight would be my response.
Jerry Dulac of the Post-Gazette. When we come back, we've got Tim Benz, 8:45. Stan Saverin with the Power Hour of Steeler Talk. More to come as we continue to make sense of what's somewhere our wires got crossed. And we're 1-1 now. What happened? It's fine. We'll right the rudder. Groins will heal. Groins heal. They do.
How long?
I don't know. Groins are really tricky. They heal, but they're tricky. Those groins. Tricky groins in the coffee house this Friday. Jerry Dulac when we come back. Jerry Dulac joining us on the DVE Morning Show, sponsored by Dawn's Appliances this morning. You know from the Post-Gazette and the Pittsburgh Steelers Radio Network pregame. Jerry D., good morning. How are you?
Yeah, Randall, I'm fine. How about you? Everyone good there?
You know, I'm fine. Here's the thing. I bummed out about that loss, but it comes down to two things for me. I don't think Tomlin needs to be fired because he didn't go for it on fourth down. I think the offensive line is not good enough right now to protect Ben, and Ben is at a stage in his career where he can't be running around. He's just not going to be able to be athletic enough to have a bad line in front of him. And the defense was dissembled by injury yesterday. So should I really be upset about things?
Well, you kind of summed it up right there, all of it. You know, the one thing about the offensive line, you know, you knew when they changed it over. Look, the one thing they did, you know, Ben's the least sacked quarterback the last 6 years. Because that's the way they were constructed. You know, they drop stepped and they build a wall to protect them. But they didn't run block, and they couldn't run block, and that's, you know, that's why they changed that. So when they did that, and they're going to go to more of a kind of, you know, a technique that's conducive to running the ball, which they haven't been able to do anyhow, some of that's going to happen. And that's what's been the case, and that was probably the biggest drawback to what they at least wanted to do. Look, it's still early. You know, I'm not going to sit here and defend the offensive line and say, look, they're no good. It's going to be a work in progress with this group because they're, you know, there's four guys across. But they haven't been able to, they can't run in the interior, that's for sure. And the only thing I would say to the way you feel is that, you know, 2 weeks ago you would have taken 1-1, or you would have assumed
totally
they would have been 1-1.
Assumed it, yeah. Yeah. Everybody just had it the other way, starting off 0-1 and then getting one back against the Raiders. But
so they're going to lose to the Bengals and then go beat Green Bay.
Don't you talk. No.
Yeah.
That's not how it's going to happen. Jerry, with the offensive line woes, is it fair to criticize Matt Canada's offensive or lack of ingenuity there when they can't block anybody? You can't really get a whole lot done.
You know, I don't see a whole lot of difference in the offense, certainly yesterday, from what I saw last year. You can't run the ball, and 17 passes, 17 completions within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. And that looks painfully familiar. 3 touchdowns in 2 games. Now, 2 games shouldn't be a fair body of work to judge Matt Canada, and so I'm not going to sit here and criticize him, but what I've seen so far doesn't look a whole lot different to me in terms of how they are trying to move down the field. I thought we'd see more mid-range passes. They play a certain style until they have to play it another way. And I'm not so sure that that's the way it should be working. The offense hasn't looked pretty the last 2 weeks, but it did. It was productive in the second half in Buffalo. but it just it's just inconsistent in terms of you know, how they want to play. And the only way I see they're playing is the way they played last year with that offense. Can't run the ball and a bunch of short passes. And then Ben will attack down the field. But you, that 15 to 18 yard pass is just missing from this offense, and basically has been on a consistent basis since last year.
Jer, a lot of people wanted him to go for the 4th and 1. I was trying to think of what I would run if I went for it, and I couldn't come up with anything that
right.
I had a lot of confidence in that they could pull off.
Yep. I think that was part of the decision-making, Mike. I think, it, you know, deep down it shows a lack of confidence in the ability to get that yard. It's certainly different than what we saw last night when John Harbaugh, yelled to Lamar Jackson, "Lamar, you want to go for it?" I mean, you can, Mike, you were standing right next to me. You could tell Ben was irked at the fact that nobody asked him, what do you want to do?
He was pissed, you know, the punting team ran on the field.
Yeah. Of course, had they asked me, probably would have said, "Well, let me get in the shotgun, take a 3-step drop, and then run for my life and heave one to somebody."
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to have that look. A lot of people get stopped on 4th and 1, but you still got to have that one play that you, when you know you need a yard, okay, this play is going to work. But Ben was, you know, bothered as the quarterback and as the offensive captain. He wasn't even given a choice there.
Yeah.
And he'll be more oaked today after he saw what John Harbaugh did with Lamar Jackson.
You know, there aren't a lot of Tyson Alulu jerseys down at Heinz Field. You know, he doesn't have the same sort of fan following as a T.J. Watt, Devin Bush, or the pedigree to go with it. But that loss, which is a season-ending injury yesterday, might be the most impactful of all, just for the duration, if nothing else, because hopefully T.J. Watt's not out long. Still not sure of Devin Bush's situation, but with Spillane, solid in his stead, the Tyson Alulu injury looms large.
Yeah, and it looms large, in fact, coupled with the fact that the Stephon Tuitt, there's no type of timetable for his return. They're not sure how that recovery from the knee surgery is going to be. And that just, you know, is a guy who had 11 sacks last year. And now you throw Tyson Alualu in there with that. Yeah. And there's not, you know, there's not like there's some great young stud waiting to play behind him. I think Chris Wormley has shown a lot of improvement. He's been more productive, better for them this year than he was last year, but he fought a lot of injuries last year. And Loudermilk is a rookie, and Isaiah Bugs has played better. He's bounced back pretty good after a disappointing last year. Those guys, the coaches were upset with him. He came in too heavy. He looks a lot better this year, but still, you lose two of your three guys on the front, and one for the season, and another for who knows how long. Not a good sign for them.
Bengals in town this coming weekend. Hopefully they can get some of those people back next week on defense, and a work in progress offense hopes to make yet another stride forward. Well, I don't know that they took one yesterday, but was it lateral or was it a step back?
Oh, back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, without question. Especially after what we saw in the second half last week in Buffalo, you know, scoring on all four possessions.
Right.
You know, longer drives, longer possessions, you know, just working your way down the field. There wasn't a whole lot of that yesterday.
Jerry Dulac, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Pittsburgh Steeler pregame. He's sponsored by Don's Appliances this morning on DVE. Jerry D., thanks as always.
All right, boys and girls, always good being with you.
We got Tim Benz on a little bit later this morning. A power hour of talk with Stan Savard. Top 5 plays for you later this morning as well. Val's got your news when we return here on DVE.
We're going to talk when we come up or when we come back about the filthiest part of your bathroom. It's not the toilet.
Bud Light Game Day Bar of the Week is Boulevard on Town Square Drive in Greensburg. Enjoy $3 Bud Light bottles during all Steeler games. Bud Light for the fans. I just don't understand the Emmys. They had a couple people in there, like Charles Grodin. Like, he didn't do a lot of TV. He had one TV show for half a minute that nobody watched. Remember he had that talk show? It was like Oberman-esque.
I don't.
He did. He was like doing news talk, like an Oberman kind of show. I think it was on CNN or something like that. But exactly, you don't remember that. So he's not known for that. I felt like they were glomming on to more famous people when there were plenty of television people
right.
that died. And here's the other thing. You know you're getting old when you know every single person that died.
Val, I was going to text you. I was going to be like, dude, I know every person that died in memoriam. Oh, my God, I'm old. It's like Charlie Robinson. Oh, yes, from Night Court. Like Marky Post. Another Night Court gem. Good Lord. What's happening to Night Court's cast?
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
I knew everybody. They also had Ned Beatty in there. I don't know, Ned Beatty really do a lot of television? Maybe like one or two things.
Yeah, I don't remember. Not like long series.
The Emmys were so bad, though. They were terrible. Conan O'Brien might have been drunk. Not sure. He didn't win last night. A lot of people wanted him to win. Instead, he just jumped on stage with Stephen Colbert's writing staff when they won for whatever, like, variety. Like, it was their election night special they won for. And he got up there. And I think Colbert was kind of, like, not
cool with it.
I think he was like, I'm trying to honor my writers here, dude. But the funny thing he did was when the president of the Academy got up, Conan acted like he was like a supreme leader and started like going crazy in the crowd. And then he stood up and saluted him the entire time he was speaking. I think he was inspired by Norm to just be really weird this weekend. You know,
that could be.
Like, I listened to his podcast on Friday where him and Andy Richter just, you know, basically eulogized Norm for an hour. And I think that made him go extra like, you know what? F it. And he just wanted to be dangerous this week, like do things that, because they were like bleep that when they saw him go on stage, they bleeped it.
Oh,
they immediately shut the audio off because they didn't know what he was going to say.
Yeah,
it's not like Conan O'Brien's going to go up and drop F bombs or something.
He's loaded.
Like that. But he appeared to be. He appeared to be kind of enjoying himself. It's, you know, he's out of television essentially. So I think he was like, I'm never coming to one of these again.
Oh, why do they spend all that money on those shows?
It was so bad. So bad. I don't watch the Emmys too much. The Emmys got better because they went to a performance-based show where you were just basically like watching a pretty cool concert all night, and they just kind of...
The Grammys,
I'm sorry, yes. And they kind of like filled in
They hand out very few awards during the Grammys broadcast.
The Emmys kind of felt like the Golden Globes last night. Like, it was really loose and weird, and the categories are kind of far-reaching. I don't know.
Like, does any show that wins you or that wins an award make you want to watch it if you don't already?
Possibly. You know, I think a lot of people, it helps a show like Ted Lasso, where it's a streaming platform that not a lot of people.
Right? Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. It might make people go, you know what? I do want to watch that. Maybe I'll get that app now or whatever, that streaming service. But, like, yeah, if the New Adventures of Old Christine won, you know, 20 Emmys when Julia Louis-Dreyfus was on it, it didn't make me want to watch it at all.
Yeah.
But it's still, I get it, you know? It's like celebrities set themselves up, though, because they have to emotionally invest so much in their work in order to make it good. And then when they win, it's this big sort of emotional release for a lot of them. And you can see why they're on the verge of tears. Like, Kate Winslet was... just, I mean, over the moon happy last night. And in the big scheme of things, it's not really that important.
Yeah, isn't the Emmys like the lowest on the rung?
For sure. But it's still an Emmy. No, I mean, it's television. You know, it's the Oscars of television. So it's for the medium of television. It's big. But I mean, in the context of what's going on in the world.
Right. Are they? They're not saving lives.
Right, but I understand why they're all emotional, and it's why people have been like, look at these, who cares about this? Oh, yeah, big deal, you're a real hero, you know?
Like, I feel like the last few years, every year, it's like, the Oscars had the lowest ratings ever. And then the next year, the Oscars had the lowest ratings in its history.
Well, the Oscars do well when there are blockbusters and huge movies, and they're just, you know, with COVID... they didn't have a whole lot of those in the last year and change. So that's part of it. And then the whole sort of racial component, like Oscars so white, like movement that was happening and people sort of bemoaning the lack of diversity in Hollywood. That also, I think, kind of fomented a lot of sort of malaise towards the whole like, yeah, screw the Oscars, you know. And I don't know. I just think the country is so at war in this cultural war right now when they see like people doing this stuff. It feels very elitist, even though, like, it's not supposed to have a lot of gravitas to it. It is just a television award, but the way it's covered, it seems like it's like, these are our royalty.
Mm-hmm. Well, they probably are.
Yeah. That being said, I just can't imagine having to put one of those shows on
and thinking, oh, this will be good. Like everything they did last night, I can't believe they gave the thumbs up to.
Yeah, I've said many times, I'm just not a fan of the award shows. But like the SAG Awards, they should all be like that. It's like
when they get hammered.
No host, no skits, no songs. It's like, here's the category, here's the award.
Yeah.
What's next? Here's this category, here's the award.
I don't hate them. I think that there's sometimes good entertainment to be derived from them. I just don't think that
when?
It's like they look, they fail at it a lot. I don't know. You don't like watching the Oscars?
No.
I like it.
No.
I like movies, though.
I like watching movies.
What do you like, Val?
I like watching movies. I don't like watching the awards movies.
You don't want to watch people celebrate themselves?
Yeah. I don't hate it. I just don't. It doesn't.
Look
I don't
Look how
care.
Great we are.
Getting an award is not going to make me want to watch it. If I want to watch it, I'll watch it.
Well, if it were up to you, what would have won Emmys last night?
I don't know. Because
what's that,
I don't
what's
have
that show
a lot
you watch with Kevin
streamers?
Costner?
Oh, Yellowstone. Yeah. That is a good show.
Yeah. See, you need to do your own awards. There need to be the Vals. You give out the Vals.
But I don't get Hulu. I don't get Paramount Plus.
Oh, my God. I am going to buy you Hulu. It's awesome.
I get an Apple TV Plus because I bought an iPhone last year, and it's probably going to run out in the next few weeks.
Are you going to renew it?
I don't know.
No.
I mean, I thought
you got
the morning
HBO
show,
now, right?
I have HBO
okay.
now.
Okay.
I thought the morning show was going to be so great, and the first episode was not that great.
Jennifer Aniston was so good in that first season.
She was.
I couldn't believe it. I didn't think she was capable of being like a good actress. She was really, really
See,
great.
That's the thing. If somebody I know who knows me says, you'll love this show, you should watch it, I would watch it more. I'd be more apt to watch it than if it won an award.
I don't recommend shows to you because you don't like anything that I like, and I know that.
Like what?
White Lotus. You hated White Lotus.
Yeah, that was stupid.
I liked White Lotus. I thought it was like...
I just hated... those people were all despicable.
I know, but Murray wasn't. He was great.
Not entertaining. You know, Uncle Rico was the guy in the room next door.
I know.
To Jennifer Coolidge.
I know. Yeah. Jennifer Coolidge was awesome
I'm
in
like,
that
that's
show.
Uncle Rico. She plays the same character, though, in everything she's in.
Did you like Queen's Gambit?
Yeah.
Loved Queen's Gambit.
It was good.
I want a Gambit sequel. Gambit 2. Did you like... You hated Breaking Bad. You're not.
I didn't even watch it. I watched like 4 episodes and I'm like, I'm out.
Sopranos?
Sopranos. I did love The Sopranos when it was on.
It's a good rewatch. Mm-hmm. Sopranos is a good rewatch. Well, look, next year
we're
going to do.
I'm softer now, Randy. I watch Heartland.
Oh, my God. Are you like.
Nice.
Are we getting to the Hallmark stage for you?
Yes,
oh,
we are.
Jesus. Are you going to start watching Christmas movies now?
I just need things that don't cause me anxiety or stress or. I don't want.
Well, you would not have wanted to be at the Steeler game yesterday.
I did watch it at home. I could turn it off.
Being in that crowd of people waiting to get into the game was unnerving. I'm like, all right, hurry up. Please hurry up.
I need pleasant things.
Hurry up. Let us in. Let us in. Let us in. People just all like, you're just, you can smell what they had for to eat at the tailgate, you know?
Oh, that's too close.
Here we go, Steelers. Hurry up. Yeah, long lines to get in. But you know what? Once we got in, wasn't a whole lot to love yesterday. I really thought they were going to be able to pull it together and come back in the fourth quarter. I'm like, oh, this has all the markings of it. We sucked for 3 quarters, but we're going to get our act together in the fourth. And they didn't yesterday. Steelers lose. The entire AFC North is 1-1. We'll talk with Tim Menz coming up 8:45.
Here's the Channel 11 Severe Weather Center.
On Severe Weather Center 11.
64 degrees at DVE. I'm Val Porter. A Lawrence County stabbing incident that led to an officer-involved shooting is under investigation. Pennsylvania State Police say 3 victims were stabbed Saturday night, a 15-year-old boy and 2 adult men ages 37 and 61. According to reports, an officer responding to the attack in Mahoning Township was then injured by the suspect, identified as 34-year-old Christopher Rush. Rush. Another officer on the scene then opened fire, killing Rush. There has been no word on the conditions of the injured officer or the three stabbing victims. Pennsylvania Department of Transportation is already looking ahead to winter. PennDOT this week announcing a series of job fairs aimed at hiring snowplow drivers as well as mechanics for the upcoming season. The first events will be held at PennDOT's Fayette County office on North Gallatin Avenue. That will be September 28th. And at their office on Route 519 in Washington County on the 30th of September. You can get more information by searching open jobs at employment.pa.gov. The National Institutes of Health expects COVID booster shots to be expanded, and Director Francis Collins thinks it could happen in the next few weeks. He told Fox News he wasn't sure a third shot is necessary for absolutely everyone, but said he'd be surprised if boosters aren't recommended for people under 65. On Friday, FDA advisors only voted to recommend the extra dose for those over 65 and others who are at high risk. There is a nationwide shortage of school bus drivers due to the pandemic. Many drivers were older and underpaid, so when COVID hit, they decided it wasn't worth the risk and retired. And this is how bad things are. A teacher in Boston said his school had to hire a party bus with stripper poles to take kids on a field trip.
Hang on, kids.
Jim Mayers teaches high school English. He said a student even asked if they were real stripper poles because they had never seen them before. So how did this all happen? Well, the teacher said the school didn't have a driver, so they made arrangements with a charter bus, but that fell through midweek, and they had promised kids, these students, a fun day, so they made it work with the party bus. His comment started trending on Twitter, so he used his 15 minutes of fame to encourage people to call their local elected officials and demand massive structural investments for the education system, including paying all bus drivers, facilities, and operations staff a competitive salary with comprehensive benefits. He added, whatever you think is enough, double it. And the pandemic has disrupted a lot of supply chains. The latest item to experience shortages is Lunchables. Parents have been complaining they're having trouble finding Lunchables for the kids' lunches. They've seen signs that say ingredient and labor constraints have put the product on allocation until next year. The parent company, Heinz Kraft, said they are facing difficulties, but they are working fast and furious to get back on track.
There's a lot of stuff there's a lot of beer bottles. People, like the bottling plants, were having worker issues, apparently.
Come on, Laverne and Shirley, get on it.
I know. On your mark, get set, and go now. Nobody from Laverne and Shirley died. Oh, yes, they did. Squiggy died. He was in memoriam last night.
Yes.
Damn it. David Lander.
But I talked to somebody yesterday who said she was at the grocery store and there were like a lot of empty shelves.
Mm-hmm.
So supply chain issues continue. A new study has revealed the filthiest part of your bathroom. It's not the toilet. It's not the sink or the clothes your teenagers just throw in the corner and not the laundry basket. It is. What do you think it is? Not the sink or the toilet.
The towel rack.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding. The problem is twofold. One, researchers say towel racks are rarely cleaned when people scrub the bathroom. But they should, because damp towels are an ideal breeding ground for harmful microorganisms and bacteria. And number two, towel racks and bathroom radiators attract dust, grime, mold, and mildew, which isn't just unclean. It can lead to irritated skin and even illnesses. Scientists say you should clean your towel rack 3 times a month. As part of the study, researchers swabbed every spot in multiple bathrooms. 60% of towel racks were in the really dirty category. For comparison, just 10% of toilets were found to be really dirty. 20% actually tested clean.
What if you have a stainless steel towel rack?
Don't know.
Doesn't
probably still need to clean it
for some reason.
It's not gunkless steel.
It's not gunkless.
No.
Where do you get gunkless?
I'm not sure.
In the gunkless district.
The
on
second
gunkless street.
The second dirtiest spot was sink plug holes. 50% were classified as really dirty.
Yuck.
So when you go in your bathroom today, remember that. Elton John is postponing over 20 stops on his farewell Yellow Brick Road tour because of a hip injury. The 74-year-old said on Instagram Thursday he fell awkwardly over the summer and has been in considerable pain and discomfort. He does need to get surgery. The 22 canceled tour dates were originally set for November in Europe, but will now be pushed back to 2023. He said he will be back on the road by January, starting in New Orleans. He is set to play PNC Park September 16th of next year. Meantime, his new album, The Lockdown Sessions, is set to be released on October 22nd.
75 he'll be when he's playing here next year. I was watching, I streamed the Grateful Dead show from Wrigley Field this weekend. And just watching that, it was really strange to see Bob Weir, Mickey Hart, and Bill Kreutzmann, who are the only three original members of the Grateful Dead still, and what Dead & Company is now. Mm-hmm. But they're all, like, I think Bob Weir's 75, and the other two are north of that. Like,
he always posts the videos of his workouts.
Yeah, he works out, you know, pretty rigorously and incessantly. But they're so old, and they sold out Wrigley Field. Like, you know... It's just, and they're just jamming, playing. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, Mickey Hart's chewing gum. Just another day. And they're just these, like, imagine being that age and your job is still to walk out in front of a sold out crowd at a stadium.
People.
And the Rolling Stones are doing that now. I mean, we're 2 weeks away from the Stones at Heinz Field. Mick Jagger's how old?
77 or 78.
That's ridiculous. There's no way. Is he that old? I thought he was 76.
Well,
even still.
I know Charlie was the oldest. He was 80 when he died.
Yeah. 80. Do you remember what 80 was when you were a kid and you thought about someone who was 80 years old?
Mick 78.
Oh, my God. Would you ever in a million years think like, oh, yeah, dancing around doing aerobics, singing, you know, Brown Sugar.
Keith is 77. Both my parents were dead before that age. So, no, I can't imagine it.
That's what I mean. My dad died at 78. And at no point on his way to 78 did I think, well,
he's going to rock. He's ready to rock.
He could be out there. There, but for the grace of God, go you. I don't know. I guess personal chefs. I guess if you don't have gravy on salad your whole life.
Well, I think they did a lot of drugs, probably, those people.
Right. But I think some of them had the effect of pickling them.
Maybe.
But, like, Bill Kreutzmann, he's done acid 2,000, 3,000 times, I don't know, and he's 78, and he's still, you know what I mean? How, I would think if I abused acid that much, that I would not have the wherewithal to remember how to play the drums, or the,
hell no.
Or the physical ability to do it.
Yeah, don't know. Everybody's makeup is different,
music,
I guess. So.
Music keeps you young. That's what it is.
Forecast today, sunny, warm, humid, low 80s for the high. It is 64 at DVE.
Yeah. Well, maybe Big Ben just needs to do acid. Maybe, you know, as he gets older. That might be the key.
Make the game's more entertaining.
Well, he was getting tripped up pretty good yesterday. Lots of quarterback pressure. Offensive line kind of melted down. Defense couldn't get over the injuries. Trey Norwood had it. You know, if he could come in a little harder on that one, that would have been sweet. But doesn't get a pressure on Derek Carr, who gets a pretty clean release for that 61-yard bomb to basically win the game for the Raiders yesterday. So the Steelers are 1-1. It's okay. Cam said London Bridge is not falling down yet. Michael, I have a full report for you. Tim Benz joining us and Stan Saverin in the 9 o'clock hour, a power hour of Steeler Talk with Stan. We'll do the top five plays of the game for you then as well.
New roads. DVE Sports.
Mike proceeded with your sports now on the DVE Morning Show.
Sports This Hour brought to you by Bridgeville Appliance. Let's talk a little game within the game stuff this hour as it relates to Raiders 26, Steelers 17 yesterday at Heinz Field. Job one for the Steelers defense was clearly Raiders tight end Darren Waller, who, you know, and for good reason, he had 197 catches the last two seasons. He had 10 catches and was targeted 19 times in the Raiders opener against Baltimore. Wound up with 105 yards receiving and a game-tying touchdown late. So he's the guy.
Four straight 100-yard receiving games.
Yeah. He's the guy. Got to take him away, right? So the Steelers had a plan. And a lot of bracketing, you know, slash double coverage, somebody in front, somebody behind. Waller lining up all over the place in the formations. So everybody was responsible at some point. The guys I had paying attention to him, either in single coverage or zone or as part of a double team, Robert Spillane, Cam Sutton, Minka Fitzpatrick, James Pierre, Terrell Edmonds, Alex Highsmith, Jameer Jones, Joe Schobert, Trey Norwood, and Melvin Ingram III. All those guys at some point were at least partially responsible for Waller. And he didn't do a whole lot. He didn't get targeted until 9:42 was left in the second quarter. He didn't get his first catch until just inside the two-minute warning in the first half. Wound up with 5 receptions on 7 targets for 65 yards. But did he do enough to influence the game? Did all the attention that the Steelers paid to Waller leave them vulnerable to other guys? Here's Mike Tomlin on that.
You know, I thought we did a good job early on. I thought, as attrition set in, it kind of limited us a little bit in terms of some of our flexibility with that. But that's the nature of the thing. And they got a good group. It's not only Waller. They got other eligibles that are dangerous guys, and that's why it's a challenge.
Now, here's Minka Fitzpatrick on the same subject.
The emphasis on him, Minka, did that lead to giving up big plays to other people, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think we did a good job the first half. Even in the second half, we only caught 1 or 2 balls. I think we just got to win some more one-on-ones, and that's expected, you know, from anybody that's in a one-on-one. That's what we do every week, is take away their star players and make other guys beat us. And, you know, this week they got us with other guys.
Yeah, they got them in particular on that 61-yard touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Carr to Henry Ruggs III. Steelers have just closed within 16-14. It's 3rd and 10, and the play ended up being influenced by Waller, if not made by Waller.
Yeah. He ran, directly at me, got me to sit on my feet. You know, he's a big target for him, especially on big plays. I just can't stop my feet. I got to stay in the middle of the field, got to be where I'm at. But, yeah, that's on me 110%. I just got to play better, do better.
First of all, complete dime by Carr. Amazing throw. Second, Trey Norwood has an opportunity to bring pressure there. He's got to get a more direct line at the quarterback than whatever the hell he was doing, because you got to get in his face there. They're giving you up for the blitz. Get your ass in there. You know, something you probably learned from watching, the thing that Mike Hilton was good at. There was a lot he wasn't great at, but that was the one thing he was good at. So if you get a face in, or a hand in his face, maybe that doesn't allow him to throw a pitch-perfect pass, which it was beautiful. And Minka, you can be forgiven, but bad time to make that mistake for a guy who's not going to make a lot of them.
Yeah, the Norwood participation was, I think, critical to that play. He was lined up in the slot, and they had a bunch right. So he had to kind of work his way through Bryan Edwards, one of the receivers. It wasn't as if Edwards was trying to block him. He was trying to get downfield, and
yeah,
Norwood was trying to get upfield. So they just sort of like a little swim move Tangle. To get around him. Then he has a free shot. It's a 6-man pressure against a 6-man protection, and the Raiders had all the focus shifted to the left side of the formation, right side of the defensive formation, left side of their formation. For some reason, Norwood did not take a direct line to Carr. He was too wide, so he had to kind of, and he couldn't change direction quickly. He had to kind of slow down and get himself angled in, and he didn't get there. And while that was happening, Fitzpatrick, a step in the wrong direction, a lean, a hesitation. Waller's coming up the field with Pierre chasing him, and, it's 3rd down. Where are they going to go, right? They're going to try to go to their best guy and get the first down and keep the chains moving. Instead, they went for the whole friggin' thing, and they got it. And of all the things that went wrong on that play, that was the worst.
Man, we got to keep a lid on it, always. And so, there's always needs to be a lid on it, regardless of what the structure or the call is or the situation or circumstance. We can't have people running behind our defense.
Can't let them throw it over your head. Otherwise, the scoreboard changes. And that was...
That was a post-Renegade play, too. First Renegade of the year. Ugh, 0 for 1.
Akello Witherspoon was in coverage as well. He was outside corner, and he was, Ruggs got behind him too, but he was funneled inside to the post where your two-time All-Pro was supposed to be.
All right. You would have been happy with 1-1 a few weeks ago. So let's be happy now. Just because it happened in a different order than most of us thought it was going to, doesn't mean it, you know, there's no trends here we have to worry about. Are there, Mike? Losing everybody on defense. Also, Schobert, by the way, you know, Spillane was good. Schobert had a little more trouble in pass coverage this
Schobert
week.
Was profoundly disappointing. Two big plays. And this is the kind of game where they really needed him to step up with Devin Bush not in there.
Right.
He gave up the 9-yard touchdown to Foster Moreau, one of the other tight ends, that made it 16-7. And then the one big play that Darren Waller made was after the Steelers kicked the long field goal from Boswell to pull back within 6. 2nd and 7. You got to get a stop right here. You got one timeout and a 2-minute warning left. So if you get a 3-and-out, you have a chance to get the ball back with a reasonable expectation that you can score a touchdown and steal the game. And they ran Waller in motion, isolated him on Schobert, plus 25, first down, ball game.
All right, Tim Benz, when we come back, talking Steeler football for you. Reminder, your Bud Light Game Day Bar of the Week, this week's Boulevard on Town Square Drive in Greensburg. You ever been there, Mike?
Yes.
$3 Bud Light bottles during all Steeler games. Mike might see you there, too. Bud Light for the fans. Benzie's up. Your radio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, 102.5 DVE. Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show. Welcoming from Chip Life Sports, sponsored by Don's Appliances. Tim Benz joining us now, also part of the Pittsburgh Steelers Radio Network. Benzie, good morning.
Good morning. I was enjoying you and Val talking about the Emmys earlier in the program. I agree 100% with your assessment, not only on the morning show, but also on Ted Lasso. To me, that's the important stuff today.
What, that Ted Lasso, which part of Ted Lasso?
That Ted Lasso is a good show.
It is
a nice show.
It's nice.
It doesn't have to be the most important show ever made like Twitter makes it out to be. And I think by doing that, you're kind of defeating the purpose of keeping it nice and simple. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I like the positivity. I'm a positive person. But the sports part of it is, I can't get into the, it is so fantastical when it comes to the depiction of the sports. In no way, shape,
is a little much.
It's too much. Yes. They would tell that guy to F off immediately. I tell you what, all we got to do is go out there and play like, let's like my uncle the graveyard digger always said. You know, like he'll come up with some folksism, and this is supposed to, like, you know, earn the trust of all these people, even though he has no idea what the rules of soccer are.
I know this. Ted Lasso wouldn't have punted in that fourth down situation.
Okay, but let's say this. Yeah. The punt, that is not the worst thing that happened yesterday. That is not what makes me worry for the future. What's the Steelers DEFCON level right now?
I think because the Bengals at home are coming up next, that softens it some. I think the Steeler fan DEFCON level is probably 3-ish out of 5, just because of the injuries. And if it weren't for the injuries, I don't think people would be panicking all that much, because to your point that you were talking about, Randy, when you're going to break, I mean, it's 1-1. And if I said 1-1 to you in August, you would have said, okay, lose to the Bills, beat the Raiders, get the Bengals coming up at home, 2-1 out of that will be okay. I'm just not willing to guarantee a win over the Bengals, because, you know, a lot of people try to do that after they played poorly against Washington and Buffalo last year, and it's like, okay, the Bengals will make us better, and it didn't happen. So I'm not willing to do that automatically, but like you said, 1-1 after 2 weeks is not the worst thing ever. It's the injury concern right now that has me more concerned than anything else.
Yeah, their inability to get pressure because of that, I guess T.J. Watt was worth it. Because you know, the Raiders.
Yeah, by his absence, you mean, right?
The Raiders kicked field goals when they got deep in Steelers territory early in that game, and the crowd's going crazy, and Leatherwood's overmatched against Watt, and it's either a sack, forced fumble, or a false start, and then all of a sudden, Derek Carr had time on his side to make the big plays in the second half. Like that little Stones reference, because the show's coming up.
That's a good point, because, you know, for as much as we praised the Steelers pass rush coming off of the Buffalo game, with all the heat that the Vegas offensive line took, the way it didn't block very well against Baltimore and Leatherwood in particular, you know, the center too, for that matter, they lost a guard coming into this game. You would have thought that even though T.J. Watt went out, they get more than one sack against Vegas in the remaining, what was it, 2.5 quarters, but it was just the one from Ingram. And to me, that was disappointing. And I thought maybe they overmanaged the rotation that we praised so much the week before, because now you're rotating in Jameer Jones and you're not rotating Alex Highsmith in as the third guy. You know, he probably should have stayed in as the second guy.
So can you assess Matt Canada or Ben Roethlisberger with the offensive line still as ineffective as it is?
That's a good question. I mean, if you're evaluating the influence of Matt Canada, we saw it definitely on the touchdown run, right, by Juju, you know, the play by the goal line there. I mean, that looked like Matt Canada stuff that we saw from Pitt, that's for sure. We see flashes here and there, but I certainly don't see a Matt Canada offense. And I think that is because they do not trust the offensive line enough to do anything more intricate than just hold the front and hope that Najee Harris finds a hole or just long enough on a pass play that Ben Roethlisberger can get rid of it. So, no, it's a lot harder for me to evaluate the Canada offense when I feel like when they have their backs up against the wall, like Vegas eventually got them to, that they just revert to what it was last year under Feetner, and that is Ben trying to get the ball in the snap and then find the first open guy available and throw it to him.
Yeah, there was one run in the fourth quarter where Harris got hit by five guys and he gained 3 yards.
Did you notice, like I did, Mike, we weren't sitting next to each other during the game, but I thought there were at least two occasions where he, honest to God, looked stunned that he had yardage. Like, there were a couple plays where I thought he could have gotten more if he weren't so gosh darn surprised that somebody wasn't trying to tackle him in a silver and black uniform.
Like Trey Norwood looking at Derek Carr. Wait, there's nobody between me and him. Wow.
I heard you guys describing that play. I said the same thing on Twitter. And, like, if you see something sometimes in real speed and then you watch it in slow motion, it looks a little bit different. When I saw it in real time.
Tim, his real speed is slow motion.
That appeared to be part of the problem. But, like, I honest to God thought in real time, I thought he stopped.
And he did.
When I watched it,
you know what it looked like?
He came close.
You know when, like, Groucho Marx would run around a corner and he would go, and like one leg would kick out and then he would like get, like, that's what he looked like rushing the quarterback.
He lurched to change direction because his angle was bad. And
angle was terrible.
Really puzzling.
Puzzling. It looked unathletic.
I couldn't tell if he was trying. Yeah, exactly. I couldn't tell if he was trying to change his angle at first or if he was petrified about getting a late hit penalty or trying to angle himself so he wouldn't get Carr in the head. But whatever he did, it just nullified any pressure he was going
to
get.
You bring up another point, though. Ben gets helmet to helmet, no call. You can take a bat to Ben Roethlisberger, and they're not going to call something. Derek Carr runs the ball, doesn't give himself up, and gets hit. Blam! Flags up in the air. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah. That did happen. I know, though, the first penalty that we wanted to see called at Heinz Field, everybody was carping and screaming about it, that the first play where he got bonked. If that's T.J. Watt and the flag flies, we're going crazy. It's, oh, why are we putting dresses on the quarterbacks? You know, that sort of thing. And then it's just the juxtaposition of the two calls made it look worse. You know, Carr did not slide properly on that one.
He didn't slide.
Yeah, he just sort of went down with the tackle on his knees, and it replicated a slide to the point that it looked like it deserved a penalty. And at any time you see that kind of play where the quarterback lurches backwards in the open field, it's just going to get a flag. And I don't know, is that incumbent upon the defensive player to hold up and avoid polishing off a tackle? I don't know. I think that speaks to Tom Brady's soliloquy that he gave 2 weeks ago about how the onus of poor offensive play at times is falling on the defensive players to bail you out for putting yourself in bad positions. And rare are the times where Pittsburgh Steelers fans stand up and applaud Tom Brady, but when he went on that monologue before week one I think there was a rousing ovation from the folks here in Western Pennsylvania for that.
Tim Benz, sponsored by Dawn's Appliances this morning on DVE. Steelers Bengals this coming Sunday. Benzie, thanks as always. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Brought to you by Dawn's Appliances. Up next, a power hour of Steeler talk with Stan Saverin, the godfather of Pittsburgh sports talk. Only here on the DVE.
Pittsburgh.
It's softer now, Randy. I watch Heartland.
Oh, my God. Are you like...
nice.
Are we getting to the Hallmark stage for you?
Yes,
oh,
we are.
Jesus. You going to start watching Christmas movies now?
I just need things that don't cause me anxiety or stress or... I don't want...
Well, you would not have wanted to be at the Steeler game yesterday.
I did watch it at home. I could turn it off.
Being in that crowd of people waiting to get into the game was unnerving. I'm like, all right, hurry up. Please hurry up.
I need pleasant things.
Hurry up. Let us in. Let us in. Let us in. People just all like, you're just, you can smell what they had for to eat at the tailgate, you know?
Oh, that's too close.
Here we go, Steelers. Hurry up.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
You know the other thing? I hate when people yell at the workers at Heinz Field because of rules that are in place that these people have to enforce, and the fans will treat those people like they were the lawmaker.
Right.
And it's a 24-year-old kid working security who's like, I'm sorry, you can't bring a duffel bag into the game. You know, you should have known by now. Jesus, are you kidding me? What am I going to do with this? You know, like, do you really need to bring that energy into it? Just kind of like, oh, I effed up. Okay. And move on. Nope. Nope, we got to scream at that person. God, I hate that. I hate that. Stan in the studio now. Stan Saverin for the Power Hour of Sports Talk, brought to you by Dawn's Appliances. We'll do the top five plays in a little bit. You know, most people were cool, just not a lot of masks being worn at all.
In the press box, it's mandatory. Everybody had to wear a mask, and everybody did. And there was a reminder announcement. I think some people took it off. I don't know who they were, but they, you know. That's kind of an isolated incident. It does remind me about people's reaction. Right after 9/11, when baseball resumed, it was right now, you know, basically first year of PNC Park, I remember going to a game, actually before, or maybe it was right after they resumed. I went to a game as a fan. I just went and had tickets, and I went in the home plate entrance.
Sure.
And the people ahead of me was two couples, and they had a case of beer, cans, and like the cardboard, you know, box.
That you buy it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And carrying a cardboard. And you know, the security, usher or whoever at the turnstile, you know, where you get to go through to get in, said, I'm sorry, sir, you can't. And this guy says, G.D. McClatchy. I mean, who, you know, bring a can, 24 cans of beer, and they were mad at McClatchy, and these were 9/11, you know, things, you know, they had new security.
Right.
I said, can't win.
Effing McClatchy.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir, you can't bring that bazooka in here. McClatchy. What do you got, Val?
Here's a Channel 11 severe weather center.
On severe weather center 11.
64 degrees at DVE. The news is brought to us by Window Nation. Powerball jackpot soaring. Nobody won Saturday's grand prize, so that means $472 million is up for grabs tonight. That's a cash payout of $342 million. And that's not all. You can try your luck again tomorrow. Mega Millions is $432 million. So that cash option just shy of $313 million. So big money tonight and tomorrow. Pennsylvania liquor stores, bars, and restaurants now limiting customers to two bottles per day on select items. Officials with the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board say that's due to sustained supply disruptions and product shortages beyond their control. That move took effect last Friday and impacts specific types of champagne, bourbon, tequila, and whiskey. The limit will remain in place indefinitely.
Two bottles a day.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd be all right with two bottles a day.
Well, hopefully. A man in Australia who escaped from prison 30 years ago and had been on the lam ever since turned himself in and says he did it because of COVID. And in 1992, 64-year-old Darko Desik used a hacksaw and bolt cutters to escape from prison, where he was a year into a three-year sentence for growing pot. He was able to evade police for 30 years. During that time, he worked cash jobs as a handyman. He had a place to live, but due to the pandemic, he hasn't been able to find work, and he became homeless. So with no other choice, he decided to turn himself in and ask to go back to prison, where he at least has a roof over his head. He was in court earlier this week and denied bail. He is facing an additional sentence of 7 years for busting out of prison. Aerosmith is coming out with a new LP for Record Store Day, the Black Friday version of Record Store Day, coming up the day after Thanksgiving. And for the holidays, Aerosmith releasing some early recordings from 1971. The limited edition LP, 1971, The Road Starts Here, is being described as historic early recordings of Aerosmith in their rehearsal room and will include previously unreleased renditions of the band's earliest material. Only 10,000 vinyl copies will be released. The album will also be available, though, on cassette. And finally, Billy Gardell returns to prime time tonight. Season 3 of Bob Hart's Abishola starts this evening, 8:30 on CBS.
All right, Stan Saverin with us now for a Power Hour of Steeler Talk, sponsored by Dawn's Appliances. And Stan, I will say that it felt fantastic to be in the stadium yesterday, to be outside the stadium, especially tailgating before, and after not being able to do it for so long, it just felt great. Everyone was in an awesome mood. The weather was beautiful, albeit super hot, and it felt really great, and I got very excited for football, and I walked in, and very quickly I was disabused of the notion that I was going to enjoy the afternoon. The entire day I was like, well, they'll turn it. All right, now they'll get. Okay, now they're going to get. Okay. And then the 61-yarder kind of sealed it. And we talked about it earlier, how Norwood had a shot at Derek Carr there, didn't take a direct line. Growing pains for the Steelers defensively, when they were relying on their depth in week two now because of all of the injuries. We see that, well, you know, the inexperience probably showed itself yesterday in that regard. Spillane was pretty good, though, instead of Devin Bush. But, boy, though, there were a lot of injuries to overcome there.
There were, although, of course, the mantra coming in was how many injuries the Raiders had.
Totally, you're right. Yeah.
They were coming in shorthanded, if you will, maybe not to key people, but, you know, a starting guard and their number one running back, although running really wasn't on their agenda. The next man up phrase is exactly that, a phrase. Beyond that, it's BS. Sometimes you have to utilize those guys, but they are not starters because the guy ahead of them is better,
right,
and or more experienced. So you're hoping for the best, but when you have to fill in, not as an excuse, when you have to fill in four or five, you're going to suffer, especially when they are key players like a T.J. Watt, certainly Tyson Alualu,
yes,
a Devin Bush. You know, Robert Spillane did play well, but he's not Devin Bush. Joe Hayden was a particular big loss, not only because of his coverage ability and skills, but there's a domino effect. Downscale, downstream. So now you're playing James Pierre more than you would like to.
And he made some critical errors yesterday.
He did. They picked on him, which is, you know, what you ought to do when you stop and think about Akello Witherspoon in the game. He's not in the game otherwise. Trey Norwood asking him to do things that normally he would not even be in the game to do. So, you know, the next man up, it sounds good and, you know, for a short period of time, but. And again, you're in a situation where, for example, Jameer Jones had to play some important snaps, you know, from scrimmage. If T.J. Watt doesn't leave the game, then he's not in there. And you can use the three-headed linebacker monster.
So they did get good play out of Melvin Ingram and Highsmith. But to your point, yes, the depletion depth-wise defensively ultimately haunted them, especially on that 61-yarder to Henry Ruggs. Offensively, I've been trying to get at this all day. Do we know how good or bad we are? I mean, can we honestly assess this offense right now?
Not yet. Not yet. I think I was trying to think of the right word driving in here this morning.
I'm not confident in, like, I'm not thinking, oh yeah, they'll pull out of this. Like, I'm hoping they do.
Yeah, exactly. No, there should be no level of confidence,
yeah,
you know, whatsoever. Perhaps we all, me included, got a bit, here's the word I finally found, overheated about the Buffalo win. It was a great win. It was a terrific win, but there was much more to play. And I think a lot of people are really down this morning because they expected so much more. And they didn't play well, but maybe we got a little bit overheated. The truth of the matter is, when you look back, is that defense and special teams won that game in Buffalo. The offense, other than that last drive where they kind of clinched things, didn't do a heck of a whole lot. They certainly didn't do, despite the fact they scored two touchdowns, didn't do a whole heck of a lot. They're not going to be any better offensively unless and until they run the ball better. And you know, the mantra has been, well, the offensive line needs time to play together, and they'll grow together. And while that still may be true, offensive line play, yes, you do need cohesion, but it begins with you beating the guy across the line of scrimmage from you. The cohesion is a factor, but it begins offensive line play with you defeating the guy across the line of scrimmage from you, and they are not doing it. So the point is, it's not just the cohesion. It's the lack of ability, skill, experience of the offensive linemen individually.
That doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound good. Lack of ability, skill, and experience. I mean, other than that, they should be fine.
Other than that, they're like the five blocks of granite. I'll give you an example. People talk about football being a series of third downs, life being a series. It's really a series of first downs. Because what you do on first down will greatly impact what you're able to do on third. Yesterday, the Steelers had 15 first down offensive snaps. They gained a grand total of 68 yards, 15 plays. Eight of those 15 were running plays. They gained 25 yards. And one of them was one of Najee's 14-yard runs. So, in essence, you're averaging 2 or less yards on first down. So now it's 2nd and 8, it's 3rd and 8, it's 3rd and 7. I just wonder, this offense, will 2-3 big plays downfield be enough to sustain an offense? Both their touchdowns were set up by big plays, 41 to Deontay Johnson, 52 to Claypool, which led to touchdown.
Right.
But is that enough when you look at what else they do? Ben, 27 completions. 17 of them were 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. Johnson led them with 9 receptions for 101 yards, but 41 came on 1 reception. So 64 yards on 8 completions. Dink and dunk. And again, they quit running the ball 10 times for Najee. People called the post game show yesterday and said they invested a number one draft pick to make the running game better. He can't do it alone.
Would the Steelers go more out of under center if Ben was a mobile quarterback, if he was a younger guy, or is the offensive line so bad right now that they're just going to be in the shotgun all the time because they can't protect anybody?
Well, I don't know how much good that does them, because Ben was hit 10 times yesterday. And if that continues, better warm up, Mason, because, I mean, that's not sustainable.
No.
The one thing that I would object to is, one of the things we saw a great deal in preseason from all the quarterbacks, including Josh Dobbs, you'd expect it from him, but from Haskins, from Rudolph, and from Ben in the few series that he plays, we saw half rolls. Not bootlegs, not going to be Lamar Jackson, but or Mahomes, but he threw one, and it resulted in, I think, an 18- or 15-yard completion to Deontay Johnson. I've got it in my notes here somewhere. But that half roll, it helps avoid some of the pressure that you're going to get. Now, that's a good pass rushing unit, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Crosby was just
he's tremendous. Suffocating. And we saw that in the first two games with him. But one of the ways that you can somewhat negate that kind of rush is to, you know, just move Ben a little bit in the pocket. Don't just have him. Let's have a team meeting at the quarterback for the defensive line.
Mike Tomlin defended Trey Turner after the game, saying, if someone of Trey's professionalism and demeanor, he said, if someone of his experience and integrity was pushed to that, well, then you know, it was deserved, basically. Basically defended him for spitting on a guy. Do you think he knew that he spit on the guy when he said that? Because even if he got spat upon, boy, there's just no way you come out looking good on that one.
No, it's a vile act. To me, if you do that, if you're caught doing it, you should be suspended. There was a guy played for the Raiders, as a matter of fact, named Reagan Upshaw, who made a habit of doing that. I mean, there's just no more demeaning thing that you can do. It's just, you know, that's awful.
Well, in the middle of the pandemic.
There's another good reason to wear a mask.
Yeah, right.
You know, it comes right back in your own face. I don't know. My only guess is that when Turner was ejected, I gathered Tomlin went to Turner and said, what happened here? Before he argued his case to the referees, the officials, which he did, and said, hey, he was reacting. Now, maybe that's not the best way to react. My guess is that Tomlin spoke to Turner as he came off the field after he found out he was ejected.
We'll have a lot to talk about with Gene Steratore tomorrow when he's on the show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Pursuta will have a report for you. And we're going to go over the top five plays of the game, continuing on with a power hour of Stain Saverin Sports Talk here on
DVE.com. DVE Sports.
Hey, since we got Stan going on a roll here off the air, I just want to continue this because we were talking about Pitt and that loss. When the Western Michigan coach says, we knew everything they were going to run because he did that same offense 5 years ago.
Defense.
He was running, or defense, same plays 5 years ago.
Coaches don't do that.
That is
to one another.
That is a coach trying to sell out another guy.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you just don't say that. And I thought what validated it, and again, game's not on TV here locally, so I was listening. I think Pat Bostic does a good job. And listening to the game on radio, Pat was saying that Western Michigan is running basically the same plays over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. RPOs, same thing. And I'm wondering myself, how about an adjustment defensively? If they're running the same plays and they're being successful, where's the defensive adjustment? Now the Western Michigan coach comes on after the game and says that validates what Pat Bostic was saying, and where were the adjustments?
That also shines some light on an aspect of football that a lot of people, coaches in particular, tend to forget about, and that is when a play is working, you're allowed to run it again.
Yep.
There's no rule against. You could just keep doing the same thing, and bang, bang. You don't have to show how smart you are and change it up. You know? You're allowed to do that.
If it ain't broke.
That was such a Pitt move, though. Beat Tennessee, come home, lose to Western Michigan.
Yeah, yes, it was.
All right, Steelers 1-1, which doesn't sound all that bad. But if you watch the game yesterday, it feels a lot worse, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. I heard a lot of people post-game show, well, most people thought they'd be 1-1, they lose to Buffalo, but beat the Raiders. I don't think you can look at it like that. I'll draw a tennis analogy. If you break someone's serve, then you've got to consolidate the break by holding your own serve.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're back where you started. And that's how I look at yesterday's game. Chance to go up 2-0 when the rest of the division is all sitting there at 1-1.
Sports is now brought to you by your neighborhood Ford store. This, to me, was not a continuation of this inexplicable series the Steelers have had going on periodically with the Raiders. Between 2006 and 2018, the Raiders won 5 of 7. And in most of those instances, if not all of them, the Steelers were perceived to be the better team and the Raiders were perceived to be not very good at all. But they kept finding ways to pull these upsets. I thought that was two mirror image teams yesterday. Both of them have really good skill people on offense, and the lines are a complete work in progress because they're being rebuilt. And both teams could really rush the passer. Well, as the game plays out, the Steelers lose T.J. Watt, and all of a sudden they don't have the pass rush that they once did. And the Raiders were able to figure out their offensive line better than the Steelers were. Just think about this for a second. If you want to bemoan, oh, they didn't have Joe Hayden, they didn't have Devin Bush, they didn't have T.J. Watt, they didn't have Tyson Alualu. The Raiders came in without either one of their starting guards, Richie Incognito and Denzel Good. Cognito was scratched. Good's already on IR. They lost their right tackle, rookie Alex Leatherwood, out of Alabama after the first half. Now, he wasn't very good, particularly against Watt, but he was still their starting right tackle. So not only do they have a rebuilt offensive line, they got three people playing in the second half that aren't supposed to be playing.
And they lost their number one running back.
They didn't have him coming into the game, Josh Jacobs. So that injury stuff works both ways, usually in the NFL. And the Raiders adapted better than the Steelers yesterday. The Steelers' offense looked a lot like it did in Buffalo, a little bit less productive. Wasn't a huge drop-off, but the sporadic splash and then a whole lot of nothing in between isn't cutting it so far. In addition to productivity, the Steelers' offense lacks an identity. Quarterback Ben Roethlisberger is of the opinion that that's on him more than anybody else.
I think we're... we're still working through it, and I think, that's the good news, if you will, is that it's still early and we can try and, we still have time to figure it out. We've got a, good team coming in here. Like I said, divisional opponent, we got to get it right. And like I said, it's frustrating. I think, the best way to figure out an identity is for the quarterback to play better. So that's what I need to do. So I'll work on me, getting myself ready to go and making better reads, better throws, and trying to put us in a situation to win a football game.
He took the blame, as he invariably does, after losses. I don't think this one was all on him. The Steelers attempted 40 passes and the Raiders 37 yesterday. Roethlisberger got hit 10 times. Derek Carr got hit 5 times. Why was their offensive line able to deal with the pass rush better than Pittsburgh's? Is that just because Watt wasn't in the game? I mean, it's the way it played out.
I really felt, Mike, that John Gruden did a great job of game planning in that the Raiders have always been a team that loves to go deep. Now, the Henry Ruggs pass aside, I thought that he shortened the routes. I thought he shortened the drops because he didn't want to have to face the Steeler pass rush, and I thought that was a really good tactical plan by Gruden.
Yeah, and he stayed away from his best guy for long stretches of the game, Darren Waller, the tight end. And then when they had to have a play at the end to run the clock out, they went to him and hit it. Steelers have issues. It's not just the running game, says Roethlisberger.
Well, I mean, without looking at the film and just kind of going back and saying, okay, we need to run the ball better. We need to throw the ball better. We need to do everything better right now on offense. So we don't need to point at one thing. We need to point at the whole thing.
And last but not least on the subject of the offense, second half in Buffalo was almost all three wide receivers, one running back, one tight end, shotgun. A lot of that again yesterday. It's not working consistently so far. Here's Ben on why they're continuing to do it that way.
You know what? You'll have to ask Coach Canada that. That's what he's calling, what we're going with. We got some really good football players that you want to get on the football field. So if you don't have them out there, they're sitting on the bench doing nothing.
All right. Well, that's him disagreeing with the offensive coordinator. No question.
Is it?
You have to ask him.
If
you're on the same page with the guy and you want things to work out, you answer the question defending the personnel.
But then he said they can't sit one of their great receivers. You know, why would you want one of their great receivers on the bench?
Because maybe you want to run the ball.
Well, I'm just spitballing here, and I'm not trying to play offensive coordinator. But
I mean, are you going to pay Derek? I'm not saying he's the only answer to it, but are you going to pay Derek Watt $3.5 million a year to be the special teams captain?
Or are you going to take advantage of the two tight ends you have who are very good pass catchers? And
that's who I thought he was talking about when he said put those people on the field. I actually thought he meant, yeah, I'd like to get Freiermuth in there with Ebron.
Well, I thought he was talking about if you only go two wide receivers.
I think you're right.
Then either Claypool, Deontay Johnson,
no, in
or
retrospect, I think you're right.
Schuster has to sit.
Not every play.
Two tight ends to me gives you more of at least a hint that you might run the ball. And also, I think you can find some matchups with linebackers and safeties trying to cover Ebron, Freiermuth, or Najee Harris. That play they scored the touchdown on 3rd and 10 was just a little shallow cross, and he beats the safety to the boundary and turns it up, and then he beat two more guys on the way to the end zone. A kid's going to have a hard time finding running room. Get him the ball in space. Throw it to him 15 times. Something's got to change if the defense is depleted, you know, who knows how long these Watt and Hayden injuries are going to linger.
Well, I'm nervous about them both.
It's not an unreachable plan or unthinkable plan to just, hey, offense, hang in there, don't turn it over, score a few points when you can. The defense will hold the other team down because it's that good. If the defense isn't going to be that good, then you're going to have to score a little more. I don't know. I'd like to see more targets to 88 and 22.
I think it's a great call. In fact, if you wanted to go with a double tight end, you'd like to run the ball, then let Ebron sit on the bench and go with Zach Gentry and Pat Freiermuth.
You could do that.
He's a better blocker. And Ebron, by the way, two targets, no catches. Freiermuth, 4 for 4. It's pretty clear now who's 1A and who's 1B at tight end.
I agree with you. I don't know if Eric Ebron agrees with you.
Then let him catch that pass in the first quarter. If he's so worried about it.
He's diving for
it. It's a tough catch.
Roethlisberger makes three moves in the backfield just to get himself in position to throw, and he's throwing on the run while he's being dragged down from behind. I mean,
got to make big plays, though, Mike.
Did he drop it a lot last year?
Yeah, he did.
That's his career.
Yeah.
Catches it a lot, too, though.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll go over the top five plays of the game with Stan Saverin in a power hour of Steeler Talk with the guru, the godfather of Pittsburgh sports talk, Stan Saverin. The NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge, wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. For instance, tonight, Green Bay and the Lions. I like the Packers to come back with a vengeance. I'm going Pack money line, Rodgers over in the passing yards, and the under. All right? And I'm going to parlay them all in a same-game parlay. You get a fast payout. It's easy to use, safe and secure. There's a reason why it's America's number one sportsbook, and there's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook. Get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code RANDY to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code RANDY. Use that. And they'll know I sent you, and you'll get hooked up from FanDuel. Got to be 21 or older, present in Pennsylvania. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile or web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800.
On one app.
Which I never understood. Never made sense. Crawford and I have talked about that a lot. All right, it's the DV Morning Show. Stan Saverin. all right, the Steelers are 1-1. Now, with T.J. Watt hurt, let's hope this one doesn't last a long time. Sometimes groins can linger. Cranberry style. Dolores Riordan style. They can linger. Do they have to? Do they have to? Well, they don't have to, but sometimes they do. Here's the good news. Melvin Ingram, at least for a little while, is pretty good insurance at age 32, coming off of surgery yesterday. Played like a stud. This one in the third quarter. A sack on Derek Carr.
A one back look, a play action fake. Carr. Flush. No, he doesn't get out of the pocket. Melvin Ingram III said, I'm here to greet you. And greet him he did with a sack.
Yeah, oh, so we'll give him a little insurance policy cred here for this. The three-headed monster becomes a two-headed monster for a short period of time. Melvin Ingram running around with that single number, number 8. I love it. I do love seeing him play on the edge
like it
with
too.
The 8. It's awesome. So cool. So it's kind of a symbolic number 5 play there. At number 4, this one's going to hurt the Steelers for a long time. Tyson Alualu, injured, broken ankle.
And again, and straight ahead after breaking the initial tackle is Peyton Barber, the 6-year man from Auburn, former Washington football team member. And we've got a Steelers down on the play. Tyson Alualu is receiving attention from John Norwig in the training court.
Not a good development at all. Like Cam said, he wasn't ready for that. That one really did. I was surprised by how emotional Cam was.
They're very close. He said that they worked out together in the offseason. You know, the whole Tyson Alualu story about committing to Jacksonville, and then he got COVID, and he, whatever, changed his mind. He decided to stay in Pittsburgh. And that's a big blow because anyone and everyone that they use to replace him has little or no experience whatsoever. And certainly, whether it's Loudermilk, whether it's Davis, who was hurt also yesterday, whether it's, Mondu, if they bring him back, which I would imagine that they probably do, Isaiah Bugs, nobody's proven. The one good thing about it is, not good, but the one thing about it is that, you know, those guys play limited snaps based on the defense. But again, you know, you're talking about Melvin Ingram, a tremendous addition. But now, if Watt is not ready to go anytime soon, now you're going to really ask Highsmith and Ingram to play 90% of the snaps. And you can't expect them to be effective in the fourth quarter if they're – that was the beauty of the three-man rotation.
Number three, play of the game. First half, Steelers kept things close with the Raiders, mostly because of defensive plays like this one from the then-still-healthy T.J. Watt, a strip sack of Derek Carr.
And he's back. Big rush. T.J. Watt, the ball comes out. There's a big scrum for it. The Steelers seem to be on it. The Raiders disagree. Let's see how it shakes down. But Watt popped the ball loose from the grasp of Derek Carr.
Second week in a row, he's freed the ball from the quarterback. This time it didn't go the Steelers' way. But
oh, and those two series were, I mean, they did have the one touchdown pass that got called back, but the Raiders could not get in the end zone in that first half. And it just looked like, okay, this is going to work out like the Buffalo game. They're going to hang around and be close enough, and they'll make a couple plays in the second half and call it a day. But didn't work out that way.
They held them to three field goals, you know, and not good field position. One set up the interception. And, oh, by the way, on the T.J. Watt strip sack, Derek Carr said after the game, we had a touchdown. If he doesn't punch the ball out, I got a touchdown. Whoever he was going to, I don't know if it was Ruggs, I don't know who he was throwing to or intended to throw to, he said that was a touchdown.
And it might have started to look a little more over early on had that happened. Number two play of the game, Najee's first touchdown as a Steeler. And, Mike, let's see some more of this.
Gets the snap. He's back on third down. Fires a bullet. Pulled in by Najee. Gets out of a tackle. 10-5. Touchdown. Najee Harris. Wow, did he make a great play.
If you give this guy an opportunity, he makes plays.
Yeah, they struggled getting him the ball in Buffalo. 1-for-3 on the targets. And the cross near the goal line didn't get in the end zone, but stay with it. Keep banging it. 5-for-5 yesterday in terms of catches and targets, the 25-yard touchdown. You want that guy with the ball in space, and the O-line's not going to get him there, so you got to figure out a different way to do it.
The number one play of the game, everything went wrong for the Steelers, and everything went right for the Raiders. Trey Norwood, deer in headlights, does the Three Stooges run to the quarterback. And Minka bites on Waller and sets his feet and cannot get back. And lo and behold, an absolute dime to Henry Ruggs.
Shotgun snap. Carr is back. Pumps. Wants to throw it long down the field. There's a man open, and he catches it at the 15, 10, 5. Ruggs touchdown. The speedy Henry Ruggs III turned on the Jets and got behind the Steelers secondary. Touchdown, Raiders. 61 yard.
Beautiful throw. Beautiful throw, man. Not much you can do there when all of the other factors that we told you about conspire before that play. Losing, oh, man, if Trey Norwood takes one step in the right direction instead of the one step outside, he's probably at least in his face and can impede him a little bit, and that's all it might have taken. It's a game of inches, Mike.
If they recover the fumble that Watt forced, if Claypool comes down with that one ball in the end zone, if.
Stan, I asked this of Tim Benz, but where do you rate the Steelers' DEFCON level in terms of concerned here? With DEFCON 1 being the highest, by the way.
I don't think that it's any greater than it was before the first game.
Even with all the injuries?
Well, the injuries, that's a different factor. But again, I'm marginalizing that only, not Alu, obviously, but I just don't know how long they're going to be out.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you know, Hayden and Watt are going to, you know, like you said, Grange can linger. I mean, you don't know the severity of it.
Right.
So, but I mean, just in terms of overall, a lot of people were talking about the Raiders lost key guys. The Ravens have lost key guys. And I kept telling people, the Steelers, turn in the box will come. That's just the way it is. And every team has. Now, the Browns may have lost Jarvis Landry with a knee injury. We find out more today. So, I mean, it's going to happen. But in terms of concerns, what we've seen is what we thought we would see. We thought that we would see an offensive line as a work in progress. I think the biggest concern...
Progress is the key word.
Right, that is it. I mean, the issue is, we knew they're going to be problematic.
Oh.
And there was no guarantee that they were ever going to improve. The issue from week one to week two is that there was no growth. There was no progress whatsoever. None. But I'm looking at them after two
regression.
Games, maybe. That's a possibility. I mean, I give them this. They have played two quality opponents, as it turns out. Mm-hmm. But I think that the problems that we thought they were going to have, they're having. None of this should be a surprise to anyone.
Good point. Stan Saren finishing up a power hour of Steeler Talk brought to you by Dawn's Appliances this morning. Stan, who's on your show later today?
On the show, Charlie Batch will be with me every Monday at 12:20. And Tom Bradley, former Steeler assistant coach, will join me at 1:20. By the way, tomorrow, Max Starks is going to be on with me every Tuesday at 1:20 following we carry the Mike Tomlin press conference. So he'll be on with me at 1:20
tomorrow. He just walked behind you not long ago, and I'm assuming it was Max because I couldn't see the person's head through the window. It was
not, in fact, Max Starks.
Yeah, I figured.
They had him on the big screen doing an interview with Missy Matthews, and Missy's not short. But Max is – I've got a picture of me – Max Starks and Aaron Gray, the former Pitt center who was 7'2", and I'm 6'2".
You're tall, Stan.
And I look like a fidget.
I used to have a game that we played in the stands at Heinz Field, Stan, when you would give the award to the high school coach.
Yeah.
I would do we did a drinking game. You had to finish your beer if the coach was taller than Stan. and he never was. Stan would go out there, and I'm like, it always looks like Stan's the coach. It always looks like Stan's getting coach of the week again.
Bill Chirpak, I think, is the only guy who's taller than me.
There was one guy, and he looked like a monster. We're like, that guy, holy cow!
It's Will Chamberlain coaching high school football in Western Pennsylvania.
By the way, I think Steely got COVID. Boy, he looked bad yesterday. He looked really thin and gaunt. I don't know what happened. He's very pale. I'm not sure what happened there.
I didn't see Steely.
He was bad. He was on the big screen. And he took off his overalls. He was wearing a Steeler jersey yesterday. Also disconcerting.
My. Probably got a groin injury.
He might. Steely has a groin. Tomorrow on the show, Billy Gardell, also Gene Steratore. And we'll ask Gene Steratore about why Ben's allowed to get hit, a million times after the whistle or take shots to the head. Ben was pissed about that yesterday. He went right to the official like, are you effing kidding me? He was in his face for a little bit after that play. I don't know if you saw that. I don't know what they showed on TV or not. He didn't leave the field. He was mad. And then Derek Carr, you tackled the runner. You better, unsportsmanlike. You can't do that to other teams' quarterbacks. All right, fine. I'm a bitter Steeler fan. We're 1-1. It's not so bad, Val. It's terrible.
That's good.
No, it's terrible. No. We let him.
We're only two games in.
It's a way to look.
We're still feeling our way.
Gotta beat the Bengals next week. I'm gonna say it. Must win.
Wow. We, 3 weeks in.
Week three. Must win.
You better double check with your buddy Damashek.
I want to see what Green Bay does tonight. I mean, I expect them to win, but I expect them to bounce back. But that's always a difficult task to go into Lambeau, and maybe not a must win, but it would behoove the Steelers to be 2-1 going to Green Bay.
Yes, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to
probably be 2-2 coming out of Green Bay.
That's why
the Bengals game means you could be 1-3 coming out of Green Bay. And I mentioned to Randy that the Browns schedule the next 4 weeks is really soft.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're just off and running now. Even if Landry's hurt, they got enough weapons. All right, Michelle's coming up next with the electric lunch at noon. We'll get past this. It's fine. Look ahead. We got the Bengals coming up here. We can get right, and we'll be 2-1, and all will be right with the world. And it should be better football weather, and hopefully people will stay in their seats on that side of the stadium because it won't be 1,000 degrees. Because over there on the east side of the stadium, it just gets
no matter the
blistering.
Weather, it's always the same.
There was a bad
after halftime. I don't care if it's over. I don't care if it's 40 degrees. They're gone.
He's not wrong. They don't come back to their seats. It does drive me crazy. All right.
How about they had a crowd of 63,707, capacity 68,400. So that's what? 4,000 plus no-shows?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the same thing. All the hype, first game back with fans.
You just beat
and
Buffalo? You're playing the Raiders?
Pandemic. It was a pandemic.
Wow.
I talked to a lot of people that just didn't, they didn't feel comfortable going. And I get it. After the crowd of people I sat in trying to get into the game in a sea of people amidst a pandemic, and I was one of probably 2% of people wearing masks in that line, that was the only part that I thought was sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can fix that, and you know, I was wearing a mask, so whatever. It should be fine.
And but, you can't get a parking spot at a mall. So it's not, as Bill Cowher would say, it's not deterring them from going to the mall.
Let me tell you something. Parking-wise, yesterday I had to park in a parking garage, the one on General Robinson. That's the last time I ever do that.
You don't buy a spot in advance?
Can't
well,
get out.
Well, no, I used to have Carnegie Science Center for years on end. I was in Carnegie Science Center, and this year we didn't get them. So they're like, oh, here's your pass. It's in the garage, though. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's fine. No big deal. And didn't even think about it. Eighth floor is where I parked.
Surprised so, you made it to the show.
I'm like, all right, so we have one of two choices here. Leave at halftime or stay for the 4 o'clock games. So I did the latter, you know. Just go to AE and watch some of the games and then go downtown and get something to eat. Because it'll take you 2 hours to get out of that thing.
Yeah, it's just, especially that high up.
Eighth floor, Stan. Eighth.
I know.
My brother's a big fan of parking downtown and walking across a bridge.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Northside's also a good way to go. Okay, we really got to go. I'm so sorry. Michelle's up next. Have a great